much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, focus up, you little monsters. Now, is everyone ready to hear the best music you've ever heard in your miserable little lives?
No!
Okay, then, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. What even do you call yourself?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm telling you, this machine is broken. Ask me a question.
Is Jay-Z really your favorite artist?
Yes, obviously.
Lie.
See, it's busted.
Is it? Or is your favorite artist really Taylor Swift?
No.
Lie.
All right, fine. She is. She makes me feel things.
She makes all of us feel things.
And now.
All right, listen. You're all terrible at what you do here. And I feel like I should tell you. I'd fire all of you if I could.
Our feature presentation.
Well, that's comforting. That's an excellent way to start a brand new week of all new Kevin and Bean shows. Hi, kids.
Bean, welcome back.
Lisa, how are you, my darling?
I'm good. We have so much to talk of.
You know, Lisa is my TV buddy, so when she's not around, she's the only one who watches all my shows, so I don't have anyone to discuss them with. It's great, this camera that I have. I have a camera. You know, I live, for folks who listen only occasionally, I live out of state, but I have a camera so I can see the studio, and for some reason today I can only see the top of Lisa's head, which has been a fantasy of mine for a long time, so it's actually okay.
You know, you're in good company. A lot of men have said that.
Certainly. Now, I'm assuming that you guys took care of the beer mug problem while I was gone. He's gone, right?
No.
How you doing, Bean?
Oh, come on.
Perhaps you heard he was gone Thursday and Friday.
I thought that was
the
beginning.
That was the permit. Nope, he actually just went out of town for a couple of days.
God damn you to hell, Mugs. How are you back?
Sorry to let you down, Bean. I know. I'm sorry.
We have to kill it with fire, Lisa. That's the only way we're going to get rid of
this
kid.
He's like the dog that you drop off 1,000 miles away who finds his way home.
Yep, he
no
certainly
matter what
is.
You do.
I swear, I thought I had made my intentions very clear when I left. I give you people one job to do while I'm on vacation, and that's fire beer mug. Well, and this is what I come back to.
We fail, you know that.
Damn it. All right. Well, we have a lot to catch up on, but we've got time to do it. Let me start with this great story out of Rehoboth, Delaware. Here's a guy who maybe doesn't understand how things work. He goes to a massage parlor, and, you know, it's getting near the end of the massage parlor. His
time
there.
At the massage, yeah.
And he asks for a little something extra, a little something perhaps that's off the menu, which is not not uncommon. And I remember we did this a couple of years ago. We tried to figure out if there's a tell, if there's a way to know whether the kind of massage parlor you're at is that kind of massage parlor or not. Because Psycho Mike was saying he could never find one. Now, listeners were calling up and saying they're all over the place.
Yeah, Mike, we sent Mike out to try to discover, and he would do the bridge with his pelvis, and he could not make it happen.
He could not get anyone interested, right. So this man, 35-year-old Matthew Hudson of Laurel, Delaware, he gets arrested 10 o'clock at night. He's at the Sunshine Spa located in the Camelot Shopping Center, Coastal Highway, Rehoboth Beach. So he says, hey, how about a little something-something? She says, no. So then what does he do? He produces a badge and claims to be an FBI agent. Now, already I'm at a disconnect on this story because what's the point of identifying yourself as a police officer if the woman has said no to the sex act that would be illegal?
The only thing I could deduce is that he's actually going to try to get her to do it so he doesn't arrest her.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to work some sort of scam, reverse scam on her. So the woman said, no, that's not what we do here, and I'm happy to give you your money back if you had any other impression, but no. So they get into an argument. So then he allegedly forcefully restrains the woman and another worker. So now he's in a hostage situation with these two girls. All because he couldn't get a handy. Well, the women are eventually able to flee the store, so he wouldn't be a very good FBI agent. They get in their vehicle. They drive away. He goes out into the parking lot and starts following them in his car. They call 911 from the car. The police manage to stop him in the parking lot of a shopping center nearby. He's taken into custody and just arrested for all sorts of stuff. Kidnapping, criminal impersonation of a police officer, unlawful imprisonment, assault, criminal solicitation, offensive touching, criminal mischief.
Has he not heard of masturbation?
I don't know. It does seem like he misjudged the situation and then handled it very badly.
He did handle it very badly.
or so. Look, if there's one thing I've learned, it's that some women just don't want to touch you.
That's
I mean,
that's been
the lesson that's gotten me this far.
And so you know what? Move on.
So move on.
Because
yeah.
There are others.
So he definitely did not handle that well. I'm stunned that didn't happen in Florida, but this time it was Delaware.
No, funny.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What do you say?
Well, here's to my big opening.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Michael Cutlett's on the program today. Our old friend is back on the TV. He's on The Walking Dead now, don't you know?
So fun to see him show up on that show.
What's
He's
up
awesome.
With that mustache?
I don't know.
He's wearing a Wild West mustache. I mean, The Walking Dead is set in present day, right? It's not set in 1870.
Well,
what the hell's going on?
But, you know, shaving and stuff is not really the norm at that point.
Well, I guess so. But we love Cutlett so much from Southland that he's done a lot of great work in movies and everything. So he's on The Walking Dead with only one episode left this season. We'll catch up with him. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the program today. It was an unbelievable first weekend for the NCAA college basketball tournament. No perfect brackets left. Muggs, I'm sure that's how you were counting on getting out of debt, was that perfect bracket, right?
It's funny that you say that, because I have a really funny story to go along with that. We don't have time, but it's pretty funny.
Oh, you were going to win that $1 billion from Warren Buffett and then mostly be out of debt if only you selected a perfect bracket.
If only.
It was an unbelievable weekend of basketball, though. It really was just crazy stuff was happening. Also, we'll tell you a story about a girl who cost her father $80,000 by something she posted on social media. And take your stories of how social media sometimes gets you in trouble. And LaQuisha recaps the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills season finale. That was last night. And all of that is straight ahead. Plus, Ralph's Showbiz Beat coming up next here on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
What's going on, man?
This thing on? Yeah, there we go. What's up, man?
I missed you.
All righty.
You sound like a man with a mission. You sound like a guy who's got business to attend.
I got some showbiz beat to talk about.
Monday morning on the world famous K-Rock. Ralph joins us. It's 5:52. What's going on?
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office each and every week. Today's no different. The Shailene Woodley futuristic thriller Divergent topped the weekend box office. In a big way, $56 million made it number one this weekend.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
No, Shailene celebrated by eating some clay, brushing her teeth with oil, and then getting some sunshine on her vagina. So she's have a good time.
Now, that's a very popular young adult book series, right? There's a built-in
exactly.
crowd for this, right?
Yes, right. Muppets Most Wanted, in its debut, did $16.5 million, making it number two. Then Mr. Peabody and Sherman, 300 Rise of an Empire, God's Not Dead, was fifth. I don't know anything about this film, but I'm guessing, from the sound of it, it's a religious film.
Sounds
Just
like.
Just a guess.
Yeah.
Need for Speed, sixth. The Grand Budapest Hotel, seventh. Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of religion. Did you see, in an unrelated topic, this legislation being proposed in Massachusetts? I just did. My head exploded. There is a state senator named Richard J. Ross, a Republican, who has proposed legislation in Massachusetts that will forbid people from having sex until their divorce is final.
What?
Come on.
You, if you're getting divorced... You will have to wait a mandated waiting period of 120 days for your divorce to become finalized, and only after a judge has approved a separation agreement, and then, once it's all said and done, then you're legally allowed to have sex with someone else. But you cannot have sex with anyone else until your divorce is finalized.
Now, adultery is not illegal in America, right?
No.
It's just grounds for divorce, but it's not illegal. So this guy's trying to make adultery illegal.
You will be penalized for pre-divorce copulation in the state of Massachusetts.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, why doesn't he just start with premarital sex?
I don't understand for God's sake. Any of this. I'm guessing State Senator Richard J. Ross's wife was banging the pool boy the minute she said, I want a divorce. And he was so pissed off about it, he had to get some legislation on the books.
Be.
Isn't that madness?
It is. But look, even if you believed that people should wait till their divorce is final to have sex, wouldn't you be embarrassed to bring that in front of anyone and present it?
Yes.
It's basically 4 months or so in Massachusetts from the time you say, all right, this is over, till the time is actually finalized. So for 4 months, what are you supposed to do?
To get massage therapist to
yeah, right.
take
Pretend
care
to
of
be
you.
An FBI agent at a massage, massage clinic.
It's just dumb.
I don't even understand it. I don't get it. It's my head swimming when
Can
I read
you have
this
sex
morning.
With the person you're separated with? Is that
I
legal?
Yes.
Good question,
you're
Lisa.
Still technically married. I guess you're allowed to do that, according
do that.
To Senator Ross.
Maybe you know that's his whole plan.
You know what's crazy? And every time I see one of these stories, and don't yell at me, listeners, but I'm guessing it's another Republican, they all get reelected. No matter how many dumb things you do and say and suggest, you still can't lose your job.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
For the record, Bean, you are correct. Senator Richard J. Ross is a Republican. So. I think the minute you say, I don't want to be with you anymore, then you're free to go off and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, notice has been given,
File
right?
File the paperwork. Congratulations to Thor star Chris Hemsworth. His wife, model and actress Elsa Pataky, gave birth to twin boys on Friday. Their names have not yet been revealed, but if you don't name them Thor and Loki, you're an idiot, Chris Hemsworth. You got two twin boys right there. It's laying there right in front of you. Thor and Loki, boom!
Do it.
Lights out. Sad news. Homeland actor James Rebhorn passed away Friday at the age of 65.
He played Carrie's dad?
Yes, father of Claire Danes'
Aww.
Trouble.
He's been character. Around forever.
Great character actor. Has literally worked forever. You're right. Mm. He was on White Collar this past season. He was in Independence Day. If you saw his face, you know exactly who I'm talking about. A guy who worked for all the time. Passed away from cancer at the age of 65.
Ralph, you're the only person I've ever met who can identify all of those character actors whose face
them.
We always recognize. You always know who those guys are.
I love character actors.
And this is a guy you've probably been familiar with as long as you've been watching movies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Guy who worked all the time. And a Philadelphian, too. Philadelphia native. That's another reason I knew him well. Or knew of him well. Mm-hmm. It's because he was sort of a local legend in Philly. Here's a good story. This is really good. Yeah, you're watching the Cosmos? You loving the Cosmos?
Yes, I am.
Yes, yes.
Being while you're on vacation, we actually talked to Seth MacFarlane about the show.
Very sad to have missed that. I'm sure Kevin had a lot of great questions.
Kevin did okay.
He did.
He held his own. But now it's, this just strikes me as funny. Some creationists are now demanding equal time on Fox to present their side of the argument because Cosmos, with Neil deGrasse
Tyson.
They claim focuses exclusively on evolution.
You mean science? It focuses on science?
Yeah, I guess that's the
other science
problem.
Show?
Their stance is that the science program is not balanced because it doesn't have the inclusion of their religious beliefs. So they want equal time. A creationist group called Answers in Genesis, this is the organization that brought you the Creation Museum, is complaining creationists aren't even on the radar screen for them. They wouldn't even consider us plausible at all. You know why? You're not plausible!
Because your science book is the Bible. That's why. Look, that first episode when they were talking about the billions of years old that the universe is.
Yeah.
I was thinking there are a lot of people who are turning this off right now who just they're not ready to hear that.
It was the opening salvo because they were like, hello, 6,000 years. It's in the Bible. Tyson, for his response, has said clearly he will not debate this issue. He said, you don't talk about the spherical Earth with NASA and then give equal time to the flat earthers. It's science. You don't get to cherry pick. And, I was flummoxed by the fact that they're demanding. First of all, it's an entertainment show. It's not a news show.
Yeah,
you know, you
make
don't
your
need,
own show.
You don't need equal time But they are furious that they're not being represented.
They have their own show. It's called God's Not Dead, apparently. It's at the box office this week.
Right.
Hey, I'm very sad I missed talking to Seth about this, because obviously he's a genius and we're all such huge fans of his. But did he grow up a science geek? Is that where this is coming from? Or is this just another entertainment project for him, Rob?
No, he was a huge fan of the original Cosmos with Carl Sagan. Yeah. And he said he saw that show, watched it over and over again, loved that show, changed his life. And so when he had a chance to reboot it, and he's friends with Neil. He said
Very cool. The
least he could do was go on as a producer. So
it's so well done.
It really is. A very entertaining show. Yeah. Enjoy it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louie Anderson is 61 years old today. Actress Kelly LeBrock celebrates her 54th birthday. She was in Weird Science. Laura Flynn Boyle from Twin Peaks is 44 years old today. Have you seen what she's done with the plastic surgery?
It looks, and she's still just so skinny.
Yeah, too. Not good stuff going on there. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory, he is 41. By the way, creationists are also complaining to CBS. They want their own sitcom.
Called, really, do they? Equal time,
The Big Bang Theory called God Just Made Us. Allison Hannigan's 40 years old. Jessica Chastain is 37 years old. Actress Lake Bell is 35 years old.
Wow.
And actress Keisha Castle Hughes is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning on the world famous K Rockets 106.7 KROQ. Hey, have you picked up your tickets yet for Kevin Amin's April Foolishness 2014? They went on sale while I was gone, and there are still just a few left coming up on Saturday, April 5th at the Shrine Auditorium. Our friend Jim Jefferies is going to be on the bill that night. Also, Patton Oswalt and Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Mark Maron, Doug Benson, Eddie Iff, Taylor Williamson, house music by DJ Mike Realm. It's a great, great lineup of comedy. Tickets are on sale now. All proceeds benefit the Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai. Nick, you get all the details at krock.com. So, Ralph, I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed this morning, and I see a photograph of you with a bunch of ridiculously funny people all in a room together.
That is surprising to you? I don't belong there. I don't belong on that dais. Is that what you're saying?
Here's the thing about Ralph. Ralph is a guy who's got a lot of stuff going on outside of the Kevin Amin show, but he rarely brings it up to us. We usually find out about it some other way. Like, I didn't know you were involved in this thing that was happening, and apparently it was last night, and I'm dying to hear about it.
It was last night at the UCB Comedy Space there on Franklin, and it was a great event done by our buddy Jensen Karp, who's just another guy who's got a million things going on. He's just a genius.
All of them interesting, by
the way. Yes, he runs an art gallery, and he's a rapper, and he did that installation with Jerry O'Connell as an answer to Shia LaBeouf's weirdo art exhibit, and he stages performances there at the space, and he's just a great guy doing a ton of great stuff. And he called me a couple weeks ago and said, look, we're doing this event. I'd love to have you come out and participate if you're available. And I said, I would love to work with you. What do you got going on? He said, he does this thing where he does live reads of classically bad screenplays.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. There's another guy. Jason Reitman does stage readings of classically good screenplays.
Oh, okay.
And Jensen thinks it's much more fun to take really bad movies and to have those read live on stage. You do a staged reading of those. And he tries to bring in funny people and guest stars that people will care about and some famous people and stuff. And it's a blast. So he said, would you like to participate? I said, yeah, what are you doing? He said, we're doing Space Jam.
Space Jam, a movie maybe not known for its script, more known for Michael Jordan playing basketball against Bugs Bunny, right?
With him, yeah. He's on the same team as Bugs. But It's a classic film that made a ton of money in the day because Michael was hot. And it was just a cash grab where he and the Looney Tunes play basketball against a bunch of aliens who are trying to kidnap and enslave the Looney Tunes to an intergalactic amusement park.
Oh, that old plot.
Yeah. It's a horrible, horrible screenplay. And in retrospect, the movie is not held up. And so he said, we're going to do a stage reading. Would you do it? And I said, yeah, what do you got in mind? He says, well, you know, it's the Looney Tunes. So we got a bunch of voices. And we'd like you to come in and do a bunch of the Looney Tunes voices. And I said, yeah, that'd be fun. I'd love to do that. And he said, we're not talking about it. He said, we're only announcing one guest, although everybody else is going to be special guest stars, but we're not really talking about who's going to do it. So that's another reason I didn't bring it up, is because he didn't want it getting around. But playing Michael Jordan on stage last night for the reading of Space Jam was none other than Clipper superstar Blake Griffin. He was the Michael Jordan.
Oh, my God.
So that was announced, and everyone else was on stage. Was sort of a surprise, but it was me, and it was Danielle Fishel from Boy Meets World, mm-hmm. and also The Dish. She played Lola Bunny, the female lead of the piece. And we had comedian Ben Schwartz up there. Nick Kroll, it was Daffy yes. Duck last night. It was very, very funny.
was Paul Scheer there?
Paul Scheer was playing the Wayne Knight role as sort of Michael's sidekick, Michael Jordan's sidekick and suck up and publicist. He was on the dais. I'm going to forget some very, very funny people. It was a great lineup of people. But the person who crushed it, who got the biggest laughs of the night in this room full of professional comedians and entertainers and voiceover artists, the person who crushed it was Dondre Jordan from the Clippers. He came
really?
Along with Blake to sit in on the show, and he did Charles Barkley. And he does the best Barkley I've ever heard. We were howling at how funny it was. Yes. It was a remarkable evening, and I sound a little out of sorts this morning because it was a late night event, and I didn't get much sleep. But it was so well worth it. We just had a blast doing. Oh, by the way, I forget one of the biggest names. Seth Green was Bugs Bunny. He did the Bugs Bunny
piece.
Nice,
yeah.
Awesome.
Nice.
And Seth Jensen said when he asked everyone to come on, he said, "Look, these are the voices. Obviously, many of them are so well known and beloved. The Looney Tunes. For example, I did Sylvester the Cat." Foghorn Leghorn, Yosemite Sam, Porky Pig, Marvin the Martian. I mean, I did a grip load of the characters. And he said, I know many of these are loved and people know them so well, so if you want to go off and do something different with them, have fun with it. So Seth Green said, there's no way I'm going to do Bugs any justice. He's an icon. So he did Bugs Bunny as Snoop Dogg. All that long, he did Snoop Dogg reading all the Bugs lines, which just made it even funnier.
So how many people got to see this in person last night, Ralph?
It's not a big room. I don't know what it holds. Maybe 100 people?
Oh, man. Did they film it?
Well, Funny or Die was there, and they filmed it, so they're going to put at least a clip package or some video highlights, we're hoping, up on the Funny or Die website. So
that's fun.
If the minute I hear about it, I'll pass it along to you guys so you can check it out. But it was such a great night, and Blake and DeAndre were just such great guys to hang with. And I am now a Clippers fan. I'm on Dave's side.
Right.
I'm a hardcore Clippers fan.
You do all the birthdays.
Those guys were just sweethearts, and we just had a blast. Everybody had a really good time, so it was a pleasure. And I met lots of Kevin and Bean listeners who were there last night, so thanks to everybody who came out. But it was a really good time, something unique and special that an opportunity like that doesn't come along very often, so I'm really glad that Jensen invited me. So
it's one of the reasons Jensen's awesome, by the way, is because he does something like that, not for the notoriety or the fame, not that you're going to make any money off of it or anything like that, just because it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just, he's like, this is going to be fun, come and play. Everybody
exactly.
did, everybody showed up, you know, nobody was getting paid, we just did it for the fun of it, and it was a great night, and the audience loved it. And it's only like $5 or something to get in, so it didn't even cost the audience much. We just, everybody got there to have a good time, and it was a blast. And everybody who was lucky enough to be there last night really had a good
Could
time.
I ask Foghorn Leghorn to take us out of this break, please?
I say, boy. I say, but of course you can't, son. The boy's as sharp as a bowling ball.
Monday morning, 1 week ago at this almost exact time, Lisa May, we had the Shamrock Shake, that little earthquake.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Southern California. I was out. I was on vacation. Kevin was on the phone with Harvey Levin at TMZ.com, and here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
And, you know, and in some ways, that's a little bit of an excuse for them. But you look at people like Lindsay Lohan and Chris Brown.
Whoa.
We're having a pretty big earthquake
wow.
right now.
You just feel that?
Yes, we did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
We're still feeling it.
And we're on the air, so we appreciate the use of that word.
Holy hey guys, can we get off the phone?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay.
Because you keep using that word.
I didn't even notice he did that.
Yep, twice. That was a pretty big earthquake.
Wow.
We will take a break and come right back. So Harvey, I guess what I'm saying is watch your potty mouth this week if you would, sir.
Professional broadcaster Harvey Levin. What's that about?
It really shook here, and I wasn't quite sure what to do.
How funny is it that you said the S word, then Kevin laughed about it and said, hey, I appreciate you saying that word on the air, and then you said it again immediately afterwards.
It just came from my soul.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, how you been, Harvey? What's going on, man?
I was dreading doing this today.
Because you knew exactly we were going to bring that up. By the way, speaking of things that we need to bring up, again, because I wasn't here last week, nice work in the Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody. Harvey Levin in another film. This time, Veronica Mars in it. Two pretty big scenes, Harvey. Well done, sir.
I have not seen it. But I guess thank you.
They just, I mean, they just shot you right there in the newsroom. You didn't have to go anywhere or do anything except read some lines, right?
The weird thing is, I vaguely remember doing this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, I think it was like 8 months ago. And I have no recollection of what we did. I know we did something, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's very organic to the movie because it's exactly what would be happening in real life, as if this real life pop star got murdered and then her famous boyfriend was charged with it. You guys would be talking about it all the time on the TMZ show, and that's all that they show Veronica watching you guys on TV, basically.
So I had a choice, though, this weekend of either going to see that movie or starting The Following.
Ah, The Following is a pretty
and
good
I
call.
Go, holy smokes.
That's great.
No, that's a good show. That's a nice choice right there. Because you can get Veronica on demand, too. You don't even have to go to the theater if you don't want to.
Right. Boy, that I'll tell you, that show is incredible.
Yeah, Bacon's great. He's great. Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple things before you get to your meeting here this morning at TMZ.com, including I didn't think Justin Bieber could make more bad choices. Who gets a tattoo on an airplane, Harvey?
Oh, there's more. Not just on an airplane, 30,000 feet up, 40,000 feet up in the air, in heavy turbulence.
What?
Now, that's the thing. Heavy turbulence. And he decides to let somebody, the guy's pretty famous. I mean, the guy who did it was pretty famous. But yeah, he got a tattoo up there, and the guy thinks it's Justin's in the Guinness book right now.
Oh, for getting the highest altitude tattoo? Something that's
like
a thing
that.
Now?
Something like that.
So did he take this guy, Bang Bang, is who he's identified with in your piece, did he take this guy on this trip with him just so he could get a tattoo during his time in the air?
The guy was on the airplane, and that's why he did it. And, this was like 5 days after his DUI in Miami Beach when he was flying to Canada. And that's what he did. So he's Justin Bieber being Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Have you counted, by the way, how many tattoos the Biebs is up to at 19 years old?
You know, I have not done that.
That would be interesting because he's got to be at 10 tattoos or something by now, right?
I have not done that. And if I do that, I will leave this job.
I don't know. You've covered some pretty ridiculous stuff over the years, Harvey.
Okay, fair point.
All right. And let's talk about Chris Brown, too, because you do have some happy news on the site this morning, and that is that he is apparently miserable.
He is really miserable. He's in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. You know, he's being held until this trial in Washington, D.C. in mid-April where he's accused of assaulting this guy, and the judge is going to make him stay there because he was kicked out of rehab, and the judge said either rehab or jail, and now that it's not rehab, it's jail. So he's going to sit there for a long time, and if he's convicted in D.C., he could go to prison for 4 years by violating probation in the Rihanna case. I think what's going to happen, and I know that this is in the works, I think what's going to happen is his lawyer, Mark Garagos, is trying to strike a deal with this victim, who I think wanted money from the beginning, mm-hmm. and I think the plan would be for, Chris to pay the victim off, for the victim to then go away, for D.C. to drop the charges, and then the judge in the Rihanna case saying, well, there's no point in holding him anymore, and they let him go. I think that's best-case scenario for Chris.
And Harvey, sorry to interrupt, there's no real incentive for this alleged victim to go to court. Like, what's he going to win if he goes to court and it's found that he really was assaulted compared to what he can get, how his life would change if he were to get a big six-figure check, right?
Absolutely. And by the way, I think Kanye West has changed the game. I think it's I was talking to somebody on Friday because it's almost like now there's a price set on an assault by a rapper, almost like looking at a Kelly Blue Book. I'm calling it the R. Kelly Blue Book.
and that was because of Kanye with the paparazzo at LAX, right?
No. It's because of the guy in Beverly Hills. There's so many. It's the Beverly Hills kid that supposedly hurled a racial epithet at Kim in that doctor's
that's
office
right.
building.
That's right.
He got more than $250,000 from Kanye for that to go away. And I think he set the bar. And I think if for Chris to get out of this, that they're going to realize what happened, and the guy's going to say, "Well, wait a minute. If Kanye got $250, I want $250. Or if Kanye gave $250, give the same amount to me." And I think literally, it's going to become like market value now.
That is really interesting. That's an interesting way to look at it. So in a way, it's kind of a win-win. Chris Brown can afford the $250,000. This guy who is involved in the assault, that's the kind of money that could change a regular person's life. And what the hell difference does it make whether one more guy goes to jail or not to the rest of us, right? So it sounds like
I think that's what's going to happen.
Very interesting.
In my bones. I also think that that's going to happen with Justin Bieber, that he's going to end up. I heard that the DA in the, you know, this egging case, they still haven't decided what to do. What I'm hearing is they've contacted Justin's lawyer, Howard Weitzman, and they're trying to figure out a deal where Justin pays probably around $20,000 for the repair to the neighbor's house, right. And they'll probably charge him with a misdemeanor vandalism. He'll plead no contest, and that'll go away too.
I just wish Justin had been on Malaysian Air. That would have been the only thing that could have made the story better.
Geez.
TMZ Live airs Monday through Fridays at 4, and then TMZ Old School airs at 6, and then TMZ Sports airs weekends at midnight on Fox. Harvey, congratulations. You went through a whole broadcast without saying the S word. We appreciate it, man.
I'll see you guys later.
Carlos Lopez from Long Beach, listening to K-Rock this morning and the Kevin and Bean Show. Just won tickets to go see The Neighborhood coming up July 24th at The Greek. His name is also in the drawing for something we'll do next Monday for The Neighborhood to come play at your house. Now, why does that not say The Neighborhood's going to play in your neighborhood? I guess at your house is better. That's for you and 50 friends. So all week long, we'll give you a chance to qualify for that grand prize. Drawing details at krock.com. Well, Lisa, I'm always fascinated with the medical research that's going on when they find what potentially could be a breakthrough of a problem that affects millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a while you'll see something in the news and they'll go, well, we finally cracked it. We figured out how to beat Alzheimer's, or we figured out, something to help with cancer victims. I mean, eventually they're going to cure most stuff if we keep working at it hard enough. And here's a big one. Diabetes. Lots of people have diabetes.
And more all the time.
And more all the time because of obesity all around the world, not just in America anymore. Everybody's fat everywhere. Well, researchers in Mexico have been doing some experiments with mice. And if you're in the right group of mice, it's a pretty good experiment because they're feeding you tequila.
Really?
They're saying that there's something in tequila. What's this called? An agavin? Is that what it is?
Agavin, yeah.
An agavin that protects mice against diet-induced obesity and type 2 diabetes.
That's amazing.
So imagine, you know, just like they say, you know, drink a glass of red wine every day, and that helps with certain brain functions. What if they were to say to you, hey, you have diabetes? Just start drinking tequila every day.
Done and done, right?
So problem easy. Solved.
Yes.
Well, this research is, it's too difficult for my tiny little brain to get my head around. So we asked producer Dave if he could line up somebody. And I do believe we have a specialist from the American Chemical Society on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show to discuss more about this study. Hello there.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you guys?
We're fine. You're with the American Chemical Society, are you, sir?
Yeah, I am. I'm Dr. Dave.
Hasselhoff.
Dave loves to rock.
Well, that's what I understand.
Dr. Dave loves to rock.
Loves to rock, right. So
let me ask you, you guys have any tickets left for that festival?
You're talking about Coachella? We're giving those away at 9 o'clock this morning. Okay, yes,
what do
we
I
are.
Do? Just come on down to the station for those? Just come on down, pick those up?
Nope. You just call in at 9 o'clock. Every morning at 9 o'clock, we give those tickets away on the air.
Because the Hoff loves to rock.
Loves to rock. I understand.
That, yeah.
Well, listen, Mr. Hoff.
Any rooms left at the Marriott?
I couldn't advise on that. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
Okay.
So, Dave, American Chemical Society, annual meeting in Dallas, talked about the mice and how they were given this agavin from tequila, and it helped against type 2 diabetes. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. Apparently, if you drink tequila, you don't get fat.
That's so weird.
It's as simple
it's
as
great,
that, huh?
Isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Hold on a second. I got to take some of my weight loss plan right here.
Well, you shouldn't really be drinking right now, though, Dave. I mean,
I feel thinner already.
The mice that consumed the agavin showed a reduction in food intake and weight, and a decrease in blood glucose levels. And that's the real problem with diabetes: is the glucose levels in your blood.
Glucose fantastico. Of all the sugars, this one's the best one for you. The sugar taken out of the agave plant, which of course is what they make tequila out of.
Absolutely, yes. How much... slow down a little there, Dave. I don't think you...
I'm thinner already. You know, at Baywatch, we had to worry about our weight, you know? And if I had known this was around, I would have used this to stay in shape for all those Baywatch babes. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, yeah. Now, how much tequila would you need to drink if you were a person who had diabetes and was looking to beat it?
Well, when they treated the mice, they used a concentrated amount of the agave, which came out of the tequila. So you'd have to drink about 14 quarts of tequila to get the same amount as one little pill.
Wouldn't that just kill you, 14 quarts of tequila?
I don't know. I'll let you know. We'll see. I'm about 3 quarts in right now, so I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, you feel it okay?
I'm okay. This is great.
I do find it's interesting that the researchers from Mexico were the ones who came up with this and presented it at the meeting in Dallas. And, of course, they work near the Mexican city of tequila, so they have something to gain from us drinking tequila.
I'm okay.
Oh, Dave.
Uh-huh.
You're starting to sound sad now.
Yeah. I'm all right.
Okay.
I'm never going to drink again.
I've heard you say that many times
before. I need a burger. Anybody have a burger?
Oh, Dave. You sounded fine a minute ago.
I'm so thin.
It really hits you hard,
so
doesn't it?
Thin is so good to be thin and culture fantastical.
Yeah, you're losing a lot of weight on this tequila.
Yeah, you have any rooms at the Marriott?
I don't know about that, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I drink so much tequila, I lost half my body weight.
Oh, no. Come on. It's not that. Oh. Huff. Poor guy.
This is why I'm so thin.
Dive into fun at Omni La Costa Resort and Spa, where exhilarating water slides and luxurious amenities help you welcome springtime. Kick off the season with their splash. Hi, Muddy. With their splash and stay. I just got molested. Splash and stay family package. 30% discount off accommodations and amenities. Details at lacosta.com. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Like the good old days.
That's right.
I'm so happy.
Yes.
Matt, you don't start with under the shirt. You start with over the shirt and you work your way up to under the shirt.
Go a little bit lower there, brother.
Your camera doesn't show much, Bean.
Matt Muddy Smith joins us. He's going to be in the studio in a moment talking about the NCAA tournament. My bracket was so perfect up until like 10 a.m. Thursday.
And then That's it.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on, Argar?
Anybody getting the billion? Anybody going to get that $1 billion?
No, it's officially over. Nobody.
That is the sweetest deal in the
world.
I
had the greatest plans, too. I was going to buy a panda.
I was
going to
get a panda.
I was going to walk around the neighborhood and put my middle finger up and say, I have a panda.
I was going to build a pan for the panda. Put it in the panda pan. Let's take a look at the movies as we do each and every Monday morning. At the box office and see who made what. Divergent, in its debut, did very well for itself. $56 million. Thank God. Thank God we have another teen, angsty, sci-fi franchise to hang our hats on. This one's about a girl who's different. As opposed to Hunger Games and Twilight. Because those girls were also different.
She didn't fit any of the factions.
That's right.
She could not be categorized.
How do you know so much about this, Matt Money
Smith? 13-year-old daughter.
There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
She's just rolling around in her
pre-teen sweetheart, this
angst.
Is White Fang. Listen to me. You read Call of the Wild. No, Dad. I want Divergent.
$56 million at the box office made it number one. Muppets Most Wanted in its debut. Didn't do nearly as well, but it still was good enough to be number two with $16.5 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, 300 Rise of an Empire. God's Not Dead, in its debut, $8.6 million. Then the
Money, you live down there in Orange County. Please tell us what this movie's about, God's Not Dead.
Are you familiar with God's Not Dead, Matt?
Is that the one with the hot Jesus?
No, that's Son of God.
Oh, Son of God.
This is God's Not Dead.
Is this the sequel to Son of God with the hot Jesus?
God's Not Dead is probably good news to Son of God.
Right.
But I don't know what this
movie
is.
Not familiar.
I'll do a little research while you guys are talking NCAA, and I'll find out what God's Not
ready.
Dead is. Need for Speed? The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club rounding out the top 10.
Now you're talking my language.
That's right.
T-P-Z's.
I know you're all
Single
about,
Moms Club.
You're all about TP. Usually you're using it to wipe your ass, though. Oh, sad news for Guar fans.
Ooh.
David Brockie, Guar frontman, passed away dead at the age of 50, was found dead at his home in Richmond, New Virginia on Sunday. His cause of death has not been disclosed. Law enforcement officials do not believe it was a suicide or drug-related, nor is foul play suspected, so they're not really quite sure what caused the death of Odorous Rungus, as he was known.
Yeah.
That's the character he played, of course, in Gwar. Known for their elaborate costumes and their over-the-top stage show. A lot of Gwar fans sad this morning at the passing of Dave Brocky, their frontman. So we'll,
I have a, for folks who aren't familiar with Gwar, Ralph, I do have a little bit of their music.
Sure, I'd love to hear some Gwar.
It's something about the girl that just makes my head on a twirl.
I remember them having a synth.
Yeah,
hearing a guitar.
Giant loss.
Sack on slow jams. Mm. Yeah. I love their slow jam stuff. A lot of people just knew their...
This is Theo. Here's the latest slow jam from Gwar.
Most people knew their high energy stuff, but when they when they got romantic, they had good stuff.
They could do it all.
Yeah. You guys remember this one, though, too, from Gwar, right?
Get the air, the breeze, the wind I need. I'm lost, I've been falling the way.
That's why they went to that auto-tune phase.
That's more horrific than anything Gwar has ever performed.
Flowerous Disastrous, the female lead.
Blowing Flowerous Disastrous. You gotta love this! With the movie version of 50 Shades of Grey scheduled for next Valentine's Day, the publisher of the original book trilogy, Vintage Books, now says sales for that book, that trilogy rather, have passed $100 million.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
There are just a couple series of books that have ever hit the $1 million sold mark. The Twilight series, Harry Potter, Sweet Valley High, which was very popular for a long time with the girls, and the James Bond books. That's it. So it joins that rarefied company with a series that has sold over $100 million worth of books. Damn.
No J.R.R.R. R.
Tolkien?
R. Tolkien?
No. That's a great guess, man.
None of those R's.
I'm surprised.
It doesn't list at least in this story. Maybe it
I'm not surprised that you read money.
I'm surprised that you know what a book is.
No, I'm surprised that wasn't on the list. I would imagine those would be perennial bestsellers.
Yeah. Oh, Bean, I'm sorry about your boyfriend, Zac Efron.
Oh, what's going on?
Star Magazine's reporting he's broke. Out of money. Out of cash. He is. His latest movies have flopped. He's had two rides through rehab. He's had to fix his house up. And his bank account is running dry, according to sources close to Zac Efron. What will Zac do for money now?
Well, I mean, if you're asking
that's a rhetorical question, right?
I'm saying, Bean, you probably have a couple bucks you could throw his way, right? For services rendered?
Do I have some chores that need to be done around the house? Yes, I do.
Some shirtless chores he could do?
In your mouth.
Whoa!
It's not like that at all.
Come on, Bean, that's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's talking about it. If you haven't seen the cover of Vogue magazine, there they are. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. America's most talked about couple. They're touted on the cover of the magazine. Annie Leibovitz shot the two of them together. He's in a tux. She's in a wedding dress. Promoting their upcoming wedding on May 24th. A lot of people upset with this. Some people are really upset about it. Like Kristen Bell, for example. Veronica Mars herself said that she's going to cancel her subscription to Vogue.
Oh, that's what's going to do it?
In protest. And Sarah Michelle Gellar, also very upset. And everyone is very upset.
Now, let me ask you guys this question. We all hate Kim.
Yes.
Is it wrong? Is it a bad choice? Do we care whether she's on the cover of Vogue or not? I mean, isn't that what they do, is put celebrities on the cover to sell magazines?
I think the people who read Vogue and care about Vogue looked to it to be sort of a higher standard of fashion and beauty.
Yeah, a little above the fray.
As some people said this weekend, this is the first porn star ever on the cover of Vogue magazine, and that's how they feel about it. It sort of brought the quality of the magazine and the status of the magazine down by sullying it with the cover of someone who is best known for Ray J.
I don't know if I don't know if it's a good parallel. I actually canceled my subscription to Rolling Stone when they put Jenny McCarthy on the cover.
Did you?
I did. I canceled my subscription.
You said that's not the magazine I want anymore.
It's a music magazine. Right. You're not putting her on the cover of Rolling Stone with a stupid hot dog and mustard.
But have you heard her music, though?
Yeah. See?
Her big hit, Don't Get Vaccinated? I'd love that one. That was a top 10 hit. Bean, you have any Jenny McCarthy music, some of her music that you did?
I don't know. Let me take a look. I think I... Oh, yeah, here we go.
Okay. That's her down in the hot dog.
Don't get vaccinated.
Exactly.
Todd Terry remix.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian Louis Anderson is 61 years old today.
Now, we last saw him on Celebrity Diving, if you'll recall.
Yeah, I dived in the pool and I was drowned.
Actor Robert Carradine is 60 years old. Kelly LeBrock, who was the dream girl to many of us who saw Weird Science and The Lady in Red.
Full frontal Lady in Red.
Full frontal indeed. Oh, man.
What, Lisa?
I didn't know say these anything. Things.
She's 54 years old. Still looks pretty good, by the way. Though she was married to Steven Seagal for a while.
What was that?
And that took its toll, I think, on her.
Yeah. Listening to that music. Speaking of music.
Star Jones. Remember Star Jones?
Barely.
Wow. Oh, fatty fat?
Yeah. What is she doing now?
I have no idea.
But, back fat McGee?
fatty. But she lost a ton of weight.
She did. She
was, naturally.
That's right.
Wait a minute. No.
Finally
having her
to
insides
it.
Removed. she had a torsoectomy.
Here's some chocolate fat, too.
She's 52 years old. Lara Flynn Boyle, who's never had a weight problem.
Super fat.
No.
I got that one wrong.
She's very thin. 44 years old. Jim Parsons from The Big Bang Theory is 41. Allison Hannigan. How much do we love Allison Hannigan?
All.
Awesome.
She, of course, in her final season, as we speak, of that show she does.
How I Met Your Mother.
Thank you.
Hey, now.
40 years old. Jessica Chastain.
Oh, yeah.
Is 37 years old. Actress Lake Bell celebrates her 35th
birthday. Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It'll work.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show.
Back again. After ruining Ralph's showbiz report, I am doing great looking at a Helen Reddy 8-track right in front of me.
That's how you can tell you're at K-Rock.
That's right.
So how do you sound on FM? Is it weird hearing yourself on FM for a change?
You know, it is. Just the broad spectrum of the broadcast band really brings to life this melodious voice I have. I mean, it delivers the depth of my personality and just my voice overall a lot better than the AM band.
I'm sorry I asked. Hey, I can't believe we don't have a sports guy. It still is amazing to me because...
Look, I've only been gone since 2004.
Any minute now we're going to hire somebody.
Really been that long?
2005. It's been 8 years. God.
But I see, you know, you come in on a day like today, and thank you so much for being here. There's so much ground to cover. And we might as well start with the NCAA tournament because that is the most popular sporting event in America after the Super Bowl. Isn't it the number two Vegas moneymaker?
It is.
NCAA tournament?
Yeah, number two in advertising revenue, over $1 billion in advertising revenue over the course of the tournament. So, yes, by far the second most popular.
I saw a memo that came out. I'm sure you'll know the details that I don't, that somebody uncovered this weekend where they talked about how the players that are on the road during the tournament, the players that are making the schools and the networks billions of dollars, don't even get food per diems. Yeah. They literally have to buy their dinners and lunches on days off out of their own pockets. Can that be true?
It can be true because the NCAA has not quite figured out the idea of a major violation and the idea of, like, you know, the used car salesman type handing over a sack of cash with $10,000 versus just giving the kids $50 a day to go buy some
food.
So they
just say nothing. You can't get it. Nobody can give you anything ever.
It is too much, you know, slippery slope. We start feeding these kids. Who knows what's going to happen next?
Thing, you know.
They're driving around in Impala.
What was the first thing that happened for you in the tournament this year that was an eyebrow raiser for you, Matt?
You know, it's funny. The tournament has changed so much. And I guess just to put it in perspective, this year in the Sweet 16, there is no Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, or Syracuse. You know, just blue bloods of college basketball. Mm-hmm. None of those four are participating. And it's not that big of a deal. Because you look around and with one and dones, and that means a kid goes to college for 1 year and then jumps to the NBA, and those kids typically pick Syracuse, Duke, North Carolina. You have these teams that have been together for 3-4 years that are senior laden. You have guys making decisions that are 21 and 22 instead of 17 and 18, and it's just leveled the playing field. So a team like Mercer that had a bunch of seniors can just wreck shop on Duke that has a bunch of freshmen and JC transfers, and it's not that big of a surprise. So, you know, what used to raise our eyebrows really doesn't anymore.
That's interesting to hear you say that, because you would have thought that the Earth rotated off of its axis when Duke lost that game on Friday. People were just going bananas over that, partly because so many people had their brackets busted at that time, right?
Yeah, and that speaks to the disaster of a conversation when you bring up brackets. Oh, Duke, I mean, can you believe? Well, you know, and I love the brackets. I'm happy the offices, you know, have this camaraderie during the NCAA tournament. But no, you shouldn't be able to believe it. It should be because you haven't watched Duke all year. You don't know who Mercer is. So it should not be a surprise because you're not quite up to speed on who's who and what's what. And you know what? So few of us are anyway. I mean, college basketball is massive. So to try to figure out how good is Tennessee in the SEC versus Florida versus Kentucky, you don't know because we don't really start paying attention until these conference tournaments, and then we try. It's basically cramming, you know, for an econ test, and you're trying to figure everything out in 1 week, and it's just not possible.
How great was it to see Coach K, though? I mean, he's the gold standard for college coaching, but I mean, he goes into the locker room after the Mercer game and talks to the kids about what a great job they did and how proud he was of them and how, hey, if we had to lose, at least we lost to a hell of a team. I mean, just pure class, right?
Yeah, he is as good as they come. There's a lot. Look, college basketball coaches, yes, they make a boatload of money. Many of them are the highest paid state employees because the universities, you know, obviously, are state universities. But at the same time, you know, they're, for the most part, pretty good representatives. You know, Coach K is certainly one of those guys. And I think the big deal with that, instead of maybe being a little bit too much hubris, is that he's the coach of the national team. You know, that's the guy that's winning gold with Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant and LeBron James. And I think that puts him in a bit of a different category. So certainly a thrill for those kids at Mercer to get Coach K, as opposed to just, you know, Coach K, the guy from Duke, but Coach K, the guy that coaches the U.S. team.
Right. Why does Warren Buffett do the bogus billion-dollar bracket when he knows it can't be won?
Yeah, I'm guessing because
he doesn't need the publicity. He doesn't need to be more famous.
Well, I think
he doesn't make money off of it.
He partnered with Quicken Loans. So all you folks that signed up for that are now contemplating, you know, refinancing your home or getting an equity, you know, line of equity, you know, I know you're right. Why does he do it? Well, he's a big sports fan. He loves Creighton. Obviously, he's there in Omaha, Nebraska. But I'm guessing, yeah, it is business, you know, and it is the ability to get more emails on your, I don't want to call it spam list, but on your marketing list than anybody else ever has.
That's true. In the history of
the world, and Quicken Loans got him.
Wow.
That's an excellent point. Now, you think they're paying Warren Buffett? Can you even pay Warren Buffett to do stuff? Or does he,
you know, I mean, there's 68 billion bucks, man. If only I had 68.1 billion. Boy, would that be something. No, I think there's a bit of a rush for him to it, you know, and then it's over after the first weekend because the odds are literally one quintillion to one.
Those are numbers we can't comprehend.
Yeah, I mean, you would have, I think it's 10 times easier to win Powerball than it is to pick the perfect bracket.
Who is this guy that got so famous over the weekend named Brad Binder? He's in where? Buffalo, New York, and he's the guy who did pick Mercer over Duke and picked a couple of the other upsets and was still in it with a perfect bracket up until Syracuse lost Saturday.
Yeah, and that's why you'll never have. I can't imagine. It's funny, you know, we talk about the Mercer pick, and maybe some people felt like, oh, you know what? I could see this upset happening. Duke hasn't been that great. This Mercer team's on a roll. Why not? But when you get into the Stanford beating Kansas, those sort of things are what really derail your bracket, or Tennessee is one of the play-in teams, you know, now making it to the Sweet 16. There's so many combinations when you talk about this many games that even if you pick that wild upset, that Mercer over Duke, chances are maybe you thought VCU was going to get UCLA in the second round and they end up losing to Stephen F. Austin. It's impossible. I mean, it really is impossible.
How many games are you watching at once these days, Matt?
Well, I'll flip around. You know, I think the coverage is so good now, the way CBS does it, you know, with the network, and then you have TNT, True TV, and TBS. So as they broadcast the scores on top of the TV, anytime you see a close game, you can obviously flip to the other channel. Now, for those, and this goes back to my days working here in the office at K-Rock, you know, when I was music director, I didn't have a TV. So what did I do? Instead of scheduling music and listening to the hits of tomorrow, I would watch, of course, the March Madness at CBSSports.com, and that's when you get the four screens at once and really fry your brain. I'm sure that's going to kill me like 2 years early because I did that so much.
I didn't know there was a time when you were at K-Rock that you weren't listening to a Sublime record. That's a surprise to me.
See what you did there? Wow.
All right, before we take a break and move on to some other stuff with sports, Matt Money Smith is here from the Petros and Money Radio Show on AM 570 weekday afternoons. Talk to me about UCLA.
Good team. Good team. Obviously, they've responded to their new head coach. This is Steve Alford's first year. And if you call him Alford, he'll punch you in the neck. You call him Steve Alford. So it's his first year. Ben Howland, who was their prior head coach, just more of a taskmaster, you know, really micromanage the game. And you have a lot of talent on that team, and I think it kind of got a little bit old. They got bounced last year in the first round, but they have a lot of talent. Norman Powell, Jordan Adams, Kyle Anderson, those are your big three. And then they have Steve's kid, Bryce Alford, come off the bench along with this guy, Zach LaVine. So they're really good off the bench. There are three guys. Tony Parker's the big man that comes off the bench, and it should be a hell of a game against Florida. Now, of course, Florida derailed the Bruins' hopes three separate times during Ben Howland's run. Of course, once in the championship game, the following year in the Final Four, and then a couple of years later in the second round. So for Alford not only to take Ben's recruits and get them into the Sweet 16, but then to vanquish, you know, the beast that is Florida, really would be something. I'm sure Ben would be sitting in his Santa Barbara home tending to his avocados, just saying, eh. Yeah. Hey, Alford, really don't like that guy. That Alford did it again, you know. So it should be a great game out in Memphis between these two teams. But Florida, you know, looks to be the best team in the tournament. By no means will it be.
And they're number one seed, right?
They are the number one overall seed in the tournament. Yeah,
exactly. All right, we'll take a break. Matt Money-Smith is here. We'll return in a moment. Right after this, on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Oh, is it me? Is that me?
I guess so.
I thought we had a thing.
You go.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. Actor Michael Cudlitz joins us at 9 o'clock this morning from The Walking Dead. I don't know if you're watching that show, Matt Money Smith, but his character, Abraham, has the most powerful mustache on television right now.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to step to that stash, that's for sure. It's unbelievable. I will be far too intimidated and will be leaving the studio before he arrives. I don't want him to put that on me.
Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Radio Show in studio with us here on K-Rock right now. Jose writes in, hey, ask Money about no Doyers on DirecTV. Barbecuing on Saturday, getting ready for the game in Australia, and then blacked out. What's up with that? Can you please, now that the season is finally here, all this off-season change that was made, can you please explain what the hell is going on and what are Dodger fans supposed to do?
Well, what's going on is Time Warner pulled this last year with the Lakers, and it went down to the very last day of preseason. You know, you couldn't see the preseason games, and then which turned out to be a great thing because they didn't win any of them, and then they solved it. You know, the issue was solved. Well, resolved. Well, I guess the Dodgers are asking Sportsnet LA, which is the television channel the Dodgers will be broadcast on, is asking for more money than they asked for the Lakers, and that was a pretty contentious negotiation with the satellite networks. And I guess it's you know what, I'm not even going to put the number on it, but it's a big, big number, and it looks like it's going to be pretty tough to have that thing figured out by the time the season starts. Oh, wait a minute. The season already started because baseball sent them to Australia to play two regular season games. So opening day is no longer opening day because the Dodgers are 2-0, having swept the Diamondbacks down under.
This is – look, we got two confusing things going on here at the same time. One of them is the season opening in another country, which my Mariners played last year in Japan, and it was a week before the rest of the team started playing, and it just didn't feel like opening day, and the game was on at 2 o'clock in the morning, and who the F cares? And what – is this an attempt to get baseball popular in other countries? Is that why they're doing it?
Yeah. You know, the World Baseball Classic is one of Bud Selig's legacy sort of deals as commissioner.
It.
Yeah, and the other problem is, too, shame on MLB for not recognizing that these games, you know, so it's one thing that they're on at 1:45 local time where the Dodgers, you know, play. So your fans, 1:45 a.m., if they want to listen to it on the home of the Dodgers, AM 570 Fox Sports LA, or watch it on TV, which you can't in most places because they haven't sorted out their broadcast deal yet, and you're blacked out if you try to watch it on MLB Network. But also, you are overshadowed, completely covered on all the sports highlight shows because of the NCAA tournament.
That's right.
So not only do you not get the game, but if you want to try to get an extended highlight or a recap of what happened, good luck, unless you have the you know, Supreme Sports package and get the MLB Network or something like that. You're not going to get it because of the NCAA tournament. It's just poorly planned. I mean, just bad on you, MLB, for putting that together.
Yeah. It's an absolute disaster. So what ultimately is likely to happen with the TV rights? Is there going to be any local channel that's going to be able to carry the Dodgers?
Well, Time Warner has it. That's it. Right now, if you have Time Warner and I think some other tiny cable system are the only two that currently have it, I believe. I haven't looked, you know, in the last day or two, but that's what it was before we left on Thursday for the NCAA tournament games. The difference between this and the Pac-12 network or the NFL network is they're Dodger games. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not a limited schedule of, you know, secondary and tertiary Pac-12 football games, you know, USC versus San Jose State, something like that. This is the Dodgers season. You will not be able to see it anywhere else. So certainly there's going to be tremendous pressure put on DirecTV and Dish Network and places like that by listener Jose, who sent you that email mm-hmm. about what's going on. Why can't I get it? And if they feel like the pressure is enough to slap, you know, a mandatory charge on all these, you know, on all these DirecTV subscribers in the area, then they'll do it. Otherwise, they'll say, screw you. We'll go a la carte. And if you don't want us to, we're not doing it.
And Lisa, you're going to have to write another strongly worded letter like when they came to you looking for more money for Lakers, right?
I know.
That's right.
I know.
Do you open it with the standard strongly worded letter line?
What is that?
Congratulations. You just lost my business. It's my favorite way to open a strongly worded letter.
Yacile Puig, by the way.
Yes.
Continue to
the
make
wild horse. Yacile Puig.
He mm-hmm. continued to make doofus moves base running over the weekend. What's up with that guy? I mean, he's not a rookie anymore.
You don't tame the wild horse. He's got energy, Bean. He loves the game of baseball. He's, you know, you take the good with the bad. There's so much good that you just hope eventually. Remember, this is the conversation we were having about Matt Kemp 5 years ago when he was making one base running gaffe after another. And then the guy should have won the MVP 3 seasons ago, had that cheater and juicer, our very own Southern Californians, Ryan Braun, not snatched it from him with the Milwaukee Brewers. So, you know, when you're young, trying to figure out the nuances, and I guess, you know, not stretching out a single to and in the park home runners, one of the nuances of baseball, they take a little bit of time. Give the guy a season and a half, 2 seasons to figure it out.
So keep the enthusiasm, but maybe play a little smarter.
The wild horse.
How did they get Vin to go to Australia when they can barely get him to go to Phoenix?
Yeah. You know what? And good on them for doing that. Gosh, did he sound good listening to
it. Did we see pictures of him with a koala bear?
Wasn't that great? I mean, how do you... If only he were boxing a kangaroo. That's the only thing that could have trumped him with a koala. It was really cool that they ended up getting him to go.
All right. Before we let you go here, yes. Matt Money Smith... since we are officially now in the baseball season,
yep.
Are we just going to let it ride, you and me?
For people that don't know what that means, back in 2002, when the Angels were mired in a June slump, I had faith in skipper Mike Socia, who regularly frequented our Kevin and Bean program and was a favorite of all of ours, yet Bean decided to crap all over him with his newly found and beloved Mariners. So we
who,
made
by the way, who are just coming off of the greatest
116 wins,
the greatest win season in Major League Baseball history. So I was riding pretty high in 2002.
One of the great moments of sports prognostication. A young man by the name of Matt Money Smith said, Bean, put your money where your mouth is. The Angels will end 2002 with a better record than the Mariners. And Bean, oh, child, how dare you? So we put $50 on regular season record and then $50 on who would go farther in the playoffs because, of course, the Mariners were going to win the World Series that
year. Of course.
And that has been a bet in perpetuity. And since that day, that June day in 2002, I have won every single year. And we were trying to figure out the total. It's got to be pushing 4 digits now. It's got to be close. I think it's actually over $1,000 that Bean has paid.
So 2003 rolls around, and then 2004, and then 2005. Yep. And I start to think, well, maybe this isn't a great bet. But you know what? Next year, the kids are going to turn around. Yep. And then it gets to be 2007, and then 2008. Now here we are in 2014.
12 years later.
And I've sent both of your kids to college.
Yeah, I'm 11-0. I have gotten $100 in pesos. In Canadian, in Origami Stars.
That's right.
I believe I got $52 bills sent to me individually.
That's right, individual envelopes.
Keeping the Postal Service afloat. I want to say there was change involved 1 year.
I think there might have been a truck that pulled up to your house, if
I
recall correctly.
I think the first one was a check, and in the memo section it said something like houseboy, sexual favors,
right,
like
exactly. Because I wanted you to have to take that to the bank.
Yeah,
right?
So yeah, it has been a wildly creative outlet for our man Bean, and a wildly lucrative one for me.
All right, well, I guess this is the year, man.
This is the year.
This is the year. Hey, we have one good pitcher and one good second baseman. We should win, right?
Yeah, I'll take $20 right now.
$20 nope, we're going to play it out. We're going to play it out. All right, Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570. You're home of the Dodgers, by the way.
That's right.
So you'll be on again today. Hey, how do you deal, right before you go, how do you deal with Petros and all the Bachelor nonsense? Because we've been infected every Tuesday with him. How do you do it?
I enjoy it because I find the clips that he selects wildly entertaining, and I don't have to watch that stupid show. So okay. It actually works out well for me. I enjoy the segment, and I don't have to watch that dumb show. But that Juan Pablo guy, I mean, he is something special.
He's something else, that's for sure. All right, Matt, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
You got it.
Big day here on the world-famous K-Rock. Later on, I think around noon, maybe a couple minutes after, a brand new song from that band right there, the Black Keys, is going to be debuted. And then don't forget, at 5 o'clock this afternoon, you can see Kings of Leon themselves in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. This is the little concert venue that's right in the building. It's a small place. What does that hold, Lisa?
Oh, my gosh. Certainly no more than 100 people, I don't think.
Yeah, about 100 people, I think, is all it is. So up close in person, you get to see the whole thing for free online at krock.com. If you want to see the Kings of Leon, that's this afternoon at 5, krock.com. Okay. A lot of controversy over this discussion going on in the great state of Hawaii right now. The police are basically saying, look, if we're going to arrest young ladies for prostitution, then we have to be sure that they're prostitutes and we have to have sex with them. Now, that sounds very reasonable to me.
I'm sure it does.
But believe it or not, there are some people on the other side of the argument who are saying, hey, wait a minute, the police shouldn't be allowed to break the law by having sex with prostitutes because that's against the law and they're not allowed to do that.
You know, it seems like in the other states, they figure out whether or not they're actually going to have sex with them for money before they actually have sex with them.
Yes, yes. In some states, Lisa, what they do is say, if I give you this $100, will you do that thing to me? And then the girl says yes, and then boom, that's when you say, I'm the police and I arrest you. In Hawaii, they do it a little bit differently, which is they go ahead and have the sex, and then the police officer can say, see, I told you you were a prostitute. So we wanted to find out more about this. This is not a joke, by the way. This is a very hot-button controversial issue that's right now going on in Honolulu between the lawmakers and the police and their unions and everything. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, who can you find for us? The chief of police of the Honolulu Police Department, Mr. Louis Kealoha, joins us on the phone right now. Hello, chief. How are you?
Aloha, brother. How you doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. It's not very often that, you know, except for Hawaii 5-0 on TV, we don't see much about Hawaii law enforcement over here in the mainland.
Yeah, we don't say book 'em, Dano.
No, that's just on TV.
Just
but
yeah.
This story that Lisa and I were discussing, though, very true and very controversial in your state right now.
Yeah, and very necessary as well. I got to tell you, we need that. We need that ability to make sure that these girls are actually prostitutes, brother.
Okay, but again, as we were saying, in other states, they just make the exchange of money for the promise of sex, and that's enough to arrest the perp.
Well, how's that a crime to say I'm going to give you sex for money?
Well, I mean, it's the intention.
Yeah, well, you know, how do you know they're really going to do it? Like, I go on a date with you, lady, and maybe you say, oh, you know, thanks for dinner, I'll have sex with you. And then, we have dinner, I pay the bill, and then you go. And then you go, you don't have sex with me. So, like, you're a bitch, first of all. But second of all, how do I know, you know, you're going to follow through on that promise? We have to make sure these girls are really doing the thing, man.
Okay, but isn't it against the law? Look, you can't... It's like police going out and buying drugs, right? Is that what you're saying?
Right. Until we have the drugs in our hands, we don't know if this person's really a drug dealer or not.
Right. But I think what some are suggesting is that maybe the police are arguing for this just because they want the sexual satisfaction of being able to get sex in the line of work.
Come on, that's crazy talk. That's not the way it is. Why would we, you know, we're all happy family men, most of us. We don't have to have sex with prostitutes.
Right, but you don't think that there are some people who just want to have sex with prostitutes basically for free and get away with it and get paid for it? That's their job?
Come on, that's crazy talk right there.
I don't think that's really crazy talk.
Crazy talk, I said it's crazy talk. Listen, also, if we can't have sex with prostitutes, then when we're trying to bust a prostitute, brother, then she says to me, okay, I'll tell you what, let's have sex first and then we'll talk about the exchange of money afterwards. And so that's they can check to see if I'm a police officer or not. I say, no, I can't have sex with you. And then they know I'm a cop, and they say, oh, psych. They say, psych. And then, the psych defense comes in, and then everybody has to go home.
Well, you don't want everyone to go home because of the psych defense.
No, you don't want psych. You don't want to hear someone saying psych, motorbike when you're in your face when you're a cop.
So what's likely to happen in this situation? So basically you are continuing to appeal to the lawmakers, hey, let us do it the way we want to do it, which is going to have the sex first.
Right.
And lawmakers are saying against the law, no, not so much with you. It sounds like a stalemate a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to push hard on this to make sure we can still have sex with the prostitutes. And we're going to try also to have sex just with the traffic violations as well.
What?
Like, we pull a girl over for traffic violation, we want to make sure she's a prostitute, so we want to have, you know, have sex with her as well in the car.
Wait, why would you suggest that somebody
also
on a traffic...
shoplifting. I think shoplifting, we should be able to have sex with shoplifters to make sure they're not prostitutes.
But wait a second, why would you even...
Jaywalkers also have sex with them, make sure they're not prostitutes as
okay,
well.
Okay, but there's no reason to suspect that they would be prostitutes.
Health code violations. Any girl working in a restaurant, like a waitress or something, who puts her finger in the, you know, in the conch chowder or something, then you got to make sure you have sex with her too, because she could be a prostitute.
So basically, the police are just horn dogs, and they're trying to figure out a way to legally have sex with everyone on the island.
Whew, this island make you horny, man.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Ralph Garman joins us. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, man?
Thanks again to the folks at UCB and Jensen Karp for having me play with them last night. We did an amazing event where we got a chance to read the screenplay from Space Jam live on stage as a stage reading, along with Blake Griffin of the Clippers, who played Michael Jordan from Space Jam, and we had a good time.
He's a funny dude, that Blake Griffin.
Very funny.
I've seen him on talk shows before. He has a great sense of humor.
And D'Andre Jordan, his teammate, also brilliantly funny, and does a killer Charles Barkley impression. We just had us on the floor. He was in the biggest laughs of the night. And we had Seth Green there as Bugs Bunny. Danielle Fishel was there playing Lola Bunny and several other female voices. Nick Kroll as Daffy Duck. And I was there doing a bunch of Looney Tunes characters. And boy, we just had a blast. Paul Scheer was there, and we just had so much fun. So thanks again to everybody there at UCB for having me come and join and play in your sandbox. I had a good time.
Let's let people know when some of those clips go up on Funny or Die.
I think that's
the plan, and yeah, we want to see that.
Yeah, it was fun. It is Monday morning, so let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Divergent, in its debut, did very well for itself. $56 million made it number one. Muppets Most Wanted, in its debut, didn't do nearly as well, but good enough to be number two. $16.5 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman came in third. 300, Rise of an Empire, and then fifth was God's Not Dead, and its debut made $8.6 million. I still have not cared enough to actually look up God's Not Dead, but I'm sure it's lovely.
I bet it's really good.
Need for Speed is sixth. The Grand Budapest Hotel is seventh. Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club came in at number 10. This is sad news. Dave Brocky, Guar frontman, dead at the age of 50. He was found dead at his home in Richmond, Virginia on Sunday. Cause of death has not been determined. Law enforcement officials don't believe it was a suicide or drug-related for that matter, but foul play is not suspected either. So it's a mystery as to how he would die so young at the age of 50. Of course, he portrayed Odorous Arungus in Guar, a band known for their elaborate costumes and over-the-top stage show. So, sad news for Guar fans.
So heavy metal. I mean, you think of dark, loud music. This is like 10 times that, yeah. Guar.
Do you have any Guar that people can listen to?
Yeah, I got a clip here for folks who aren't familiar with the music. Sure.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Oh, it's dark, man. It's dark. Also, passing away, legendary character actor James Rebhorn. He passed away at the age of 65 this weekend. Many of you probably know him as Special Agent Reese Hughes from White Collar. He was the boss of the White Collar unit there. Also, the dad of Claire Danes' character on Homeland. Yeah. Passed away at the age of 65.
What a good actor he is.
Great actor. He will be missed. You know who won't be missed is that Fred Phelps bastard, the founder of the Westboro Baptist Church. He died last Thursday, yet his evil lives on. Just this weekend, the Westboro Baptist Church was picketing outside the Lord concert. Lord was performing in Kansas City, and the Westboro Baptist Church was there in mass to picket outside of her concert. Why, you may ask? Don't they usually picket the funerals of children
servicemen?
Yeah. This is because of the rumored lesbian relationship with Taylor Swift that both Lord and Taylor Swift have denied.
Yeah, they're just friends,
yes,
guys.
They're just friends. But the members of the church staged a protest nonetheless. It was their first after the death of Fred Phelps. And they were met by counter-protesters who simply held up a banner that said, "Sorry for your loss." regarding the death of Fred Phelps. So the counter-protesters were more Christian than the Christians were when it came to treating other people with some sort of decency and kindness.
I love lesbians.
Well, I thought that after the old man was dead, that the church would just evaporate. But I guess he had already been excommunicated from the church,
Yeah, they
right?
parted ways.
Yeah. They say he sort of renounced his beliefs towards the end of his life and everything, to which I say too late, but... Look, either way you cut it, the guy started it. You know, he planted the seed and
raised his kids that way.
The tree continues to grow regardless.
We need to stop publicizing them. Like,
amen.
Cameras just need to stop. I don't care where they go anymore. I don't want to hear. I mean, I love the story about the signs, but I just think we need to stop.
Can we put them on the Malaysian airliner?
Yes. Let's do that.
Can we stop all the stories at once? All the stories?
I do think
you
if they
do
get...
your update, your Indian Ocean update, Bean? You have an update for us?
I don't know much. I mean, I saw this story came across that the Malaysian government came out this morning and said that wreckage that they're zeroing in on, that they're getting
orange and something's blue or something.
Yes, that wreckage is, in fact, from the Malaysian jet. I mean, here's what it says. A new analysis of satellite data shows that the missing Malaysia Airlines plane plunged into the southern Indian Ocean, the Malaysian prime minister says. Searchers are closing in on objects spotted from the air. Mm. Now, look, half of what's come out of the Malaysian government's spokespeople has been shaky. So this is the most definitive thing I've ever seen where they said that the wreckage that they found is absolutely from the jet, but I haven't seen much since then. It leads me to wonder if they're wrong again.
I think they're iffy, those Malaysians.
That freaking jet, by the way, what's it been now? 18 days?
Yes.
I think it's been missing?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
When I went away on vacation a week ago Friday, I thought, clearly the jet's going to be found by the time
well,
I get back,
know.
Right?
Every hour you're constantly checking for jet updates because you're going crazy not knowing where it is.
Like most of America is,
no,
yeah.
No and no.
Look, Ralph, you've done the story about what the ratings are like on CNN for their jet coverage. People are tuning in, hanging on every twist and turn of this story.
What twist and what turn? You know what they get? We don't have anything. We have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing. Those are the different. Those are reports you get every hour. Stop
but you get
it.
You get the update on the investigation on that. The records that they found.
We haven't found anything. We have not found anything. We have not found anything.
Any minute now. Any minute now. This thing's going to blow wide open.
I hate you all. All you people.
It might be best if you just let it go.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll find out when they do, one way or the other. You don't need to know up to minute. You don't need to know exactly when it happens. You'll find out when they got it, they'll tell you. You'll be like, oh, okay. It's IHOP day. And you go about your life.
Tell me what happened to the
Stop
plane.
Stop it.
That's what I want.
You'll know eventually. Who cares? A month
I
from now, 2 months.
Why?
Why do you need to know now?
Because.
But this is America. I want it now.
Oh, I see. Because it's America. People. I'm tired of people. You people with all your peopleness. Today's celebrity birthdays. Comedian Louis Anderson. Remember when Louis was diving off the high dive into that pool?
Oh, my God,
Why
yes.
was he doing that?
That's a good question.
I have a clip. I have not previewed this clip because that's how professional I am. But here's Louis Anderson talking about, what was it called? Celebrity diving, right?
Splash. Was he on Splash?
I think he was on Splash. Diving. Let's hear a little bit of what this is like.
400 pounds going in the water. It's a lot easier than getting 400 pounds out of the water. The first time I had to get out of the pool.
Oh, wait.
Was my most embarrassing moment. It's humiliating.
I played professional football and then.
All right, so there's Louis Anderson talking about how fat he was.
He couldn't get out of the pool. He was too fat.
Right.
His weight plus the added weight of the water in his clothing.
That's right.
Wouldn't allow him to pull himself out of the pool.
That was a show that was on TV, by the way.
By the way, the Malaysian government are still searching for Louis Anderson in the Indian Ocean, so we'll have to see if they can find him. He's 61 years old today. Kelly LeBrock is 54 years old today. Laura Flynn Boyle celebrates her 44th birthday. Jim Parsons of The Big Bang Theory is 41 years old today. Does he seem to anyone like a 41-year-old
no.
man?
No.
What's that all about?
That's crazy.
What's his fountain of youth? Damn that Jim Parsons.
Malaysia Prime Minister, flight ended in ocean. Airline says no doubt that all on board were lost. Breaking news.
You know what? I could have told you that a week ago. I could have told you that 2 weeks ago.
Just saying.
Allison Hannigan's 40 years old today. Jessica Chastain is 37. And actress Lake Bell celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, Foo Fighters. That's what we needed on a Monday morning here on the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, coming up next hour, our friend Michael Cudlitz is going to be here from The Walking Dead. Just one episode left in this season. This week on the show, Lisa May, check this out. Jude Law on the program tomorrow. Joe Latrulio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Howie Mandel, Billy Eichner coming later on in the week from Billy in the Street. Chris Weidman is going to be here. Lotal Machida talking about UFC 173. Greg Proops on the program. Christopher Maloney. Butch Vig from Garbage will be here. Dr. Drew. Hannibal Buress. It's just ridiculous.
It
goes on and on and on.
Will Glenda be there?
I don't know about Glenda. I'm clear on the details on Glenda.
We haven't booked her yet.
But a lot of great stuff happening this week on the Kevin Bean Show. We appreciate you tuning in. All right, here's a story that I think is going to prompt an interesting phone topic from you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, because you're basically dopes. You guys do lots of dumb stuff. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067 if you've ever gotten in some serious trouble as a result of something that you posted on social media.
Okay.
These days, let's face it, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, we're all kind of living our lives on the internet a little bit. Lisa, how many times have you been out and you've, you know, shared a meal or pictures from a party or whatever
whatever I'm doing. Yeah, for sure.
That's what you do is you want to share that stuff. And sometimes it's maybe not the best idea in the world. I see stories all the time about people who they get busted for robbing houses because they put pictures up on their Facebook page of them with stolen merchandise. I mean, that's a perfect example of something that maybe, I don't know, keep that to yourself.
You know, when I got in a car accident, I tweeted a picture of my car and the damage, and a K-Rock listener kindly said, your license plate is very clearly able to be read. Perhaps you don't want to put that picture up. I was like, oh, I've never thought about that. Maybe that's not, I mean, I'm not sure, but I'm taking it down.
Because there are ways that some people have to be able to track down where somebody lives, what their address is based on their license plate. Yep. Sure. So we want to hear from you if you've gotten in trouble for posting something on social media at 1-800-520-1067. Here is the story that prompted this. And this is a crazy story, but I kind of understand what happened. There's a guy named Patrick Snay, 69 years old. He was the head of the Gulliver Preparatory School in Florida, of all places, by the way. Mm-hmm. Well, his contract did not get renewed back in 2011. And he says it was because he was too old. Because he was 69 years old, they did not renew his contract, not because of the job that he was doing, but because he was discriminated against because of his age. So he sued the company. Well, they settled out of court. They reached an agreement where he was given $10,000 in back pay and an $80,000 settlement to make the thing go away. So $90,000. He accepted that, but as so often is the case with these, a confidentiality agreement was also part of the deal. So in other words, we're going to settle this thing out of court. You get the money, you're happy, you go away. The company doesn't look bad because nobody ever knows what happens. Both sides agree to seal the deal and nobody talks about it, right?
Right.
Right. So far, so good. Unfortunately, Mr. Snay shared that information with his teenage daughter, who posted on Facebook, Mama and Papa won their case against Gulliver. Gulliver is now officially paying for my vacation to Europe this summer. Suck it.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So she put that on Facebook. She's got 1,200 Facebook followers. That includes many people, by the way, who go to that school, to Gulliver School. Word spreads like wildfire. And basically, the school says, hey, what about the whole confidentiality agreement? What about the part where we pay you and then nobody knows about it?
Mm-hmm.
So they refused to pay, and that went to court, and the judge said, it absolutely 100% was a violation of the confidentiality agreement. You were not allowed to talk about it, and you did. Therefore, you don't get the money.
Nice job, dumbass.
Yeah, seriously. So much for your European vacation.
So much for, yeah, exactly. So much for the trip and so much for Dad having a little bit of money to bank on now that he's out of work.
Man.
By the way, is there any punishment enough to your teenage daughter for screwing you out of $90,000 by posting on Facebook?
Well, no college for you. That's number one.
Apparently not. So, I mean, that is a perfect example. I mean, the court said, based on the clear and unambiguous language of the party's agreement and Snay's testimony confirming the breach of the terms, we reverse the order entered below, granting the Stays' motion to enforce the agreement. So, therefore, no money for you. So, that's exactly what we're talking about. I don't expect that most people have social media faux pas that cause that kind of money, but we do want to hear what happened to you at 1-800-520-1067. Everybody's using Twitter. Everybody's posting on Facebook or Instagram or wherever. What's the problem here? Let's do one real quick before the break. We'll talk to Mark. He's on line two. Find out what went wrong with him. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi there. What happened?
Well, I got in trouble because for work I drive a company vehicle, mm-hmm. and I was going along the coast up to Santa Barbara, and I happened to take a picture of the coast and post it on Instagram, not knowing that my boss actually looks at my Instagram. My profile is public, and I ended up getting written up, and they took 1 week off of work for me.
Oh, my God. So a week without pay for taking a photo out of the car?
Yes, because I was taking a picture, though, using my cell phone while driving the company vehicle.
Oh,
how about that? And they thought, what, that was potentially dangerous or something, a traffic hazard?
You're not allowed to do that, yeah.
So did you fight it at all? I mean, did you have any kind of recourse, anything you could say?
I couldn't really say anything but make my profile blocked.
Private, yeah.
Yeah, a week. I mean, losing a week's pay just for holding up the phone and snapping a photo of the coastline. That does suck. That does hurt, man.
Exactly.
All right, dude. Thanks very much for the call, and thanks a lot for listening. 1-800-520-1067. You posted it on the internet. Somehow you got in trouble. What's your story? We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean Show on KMOX. Last night was the season finale of The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. LaQuisha reviews it for us coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, we're taking your calls of I got in trouble for posting something on social media. We just told you the story about a family that had $90,000 taken away that they had won in a lawsuit, but it was supposed to be confidential. And then when the daughter and the family put it on her Facebook page that they'd won all this money and they were going away on a summer vacation, all of a sudden the judge said, not so much with the money for you.
Oh, man, that hurts.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Man, we got some good ones. William, you hang on. Vanessa, too. Ruben, hang on. Let's go to Freddie first. He's up first. He's on line two, and he gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Freddie.
How you doing? Good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
What happened?
Pretty much went to Vegas for my buddy's bachelor party. I had used up all my vacation time, so the plan was on Monday, just call in sick. Wind up being that the supervisor logs into my computer, clicks on my Facebook, and sees all the pictures I posted up, you know, us doing bottle service for Avicii performing. Yeah, pretty much.
Plus, so that's
the story.
That's not so much being sick as it is lying to your boss to go to Las Vegas. Now, did you get fired for that?
I did get fired. They also went ahead and declined my unemployment. However, I did get 3 months of I filed a small claims court for wrongful termination because they weren't allowed, or I never signed off for a release form for them to go into my computer. So that was a plus side. So I got 3 months of free pay out of that.
Okay. All right. A little something out of it, but still not what your hope was when you posted those photos. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to William.
Exactly.
William's on line one. I hadn't even thought about this. What about if you're in the military? It seems like there's a lot of stuff you're not allowed to put on social media.
Everything.
William, what happened, dude?
Well, when we were over in Iraq, we had a mission come up, and one of my soldiers has a habit of putting things on Facebook. So I told him, don't put the mission on Facebook. 5 minutes later, he posted it, then he tried to deny it, and I pulled my phone up and I said, here it is.
Oh, my gosh. Right, like what kinds of details did he put about the mission?
Time, when we were leaving, how many people were going, and what we were doing.
Why would he do that?
Because he was trying to brag to his friends back home.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Al-Qaeda, look for us. We're the guys in green. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, so... Yeah, he got taken off the mission. We had to change everything, and he had to do a lot of stuff around the base for the next month.
That
was very creative.
Thank you very much. Thank you, William, and thank you for your service. Let's go to Ruben. He's up next. He's on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hi, Ruben.
Hi, Ruben. What happened?
A couple years ago when I was in high school, we took a state test, mm-hmm. and it was multiple choice, so there was bubbles, and I decided to... not really care, so I put the F word in big letters.
Wait, in other words, you punched out the bubbles so that when you looked at the page, it spelled out the F word instead of trying to put the right answers in.
Correct.
All right.
That's pretty funny.
Good choice. And then?
Yeah, and my classmates thought it was funny, so they took pictures, Instagram, Twitter, it went on Facebook. Mm-hmm. The next day, my principal said that the state called them saying that they saw it somehow, and I got suspended for the rest of the week.
Oh, man.
Senior year came, and I just got kicked out, and when I tried to apply to other high schools, they didn't let me go in.
Oh, you're kidding. Really? That's just a prank, obviously. What's exactly. the harm in that?
Yeah, I don't know. Luckily, I was able to go into a continuation school, but besides that, big normal high schools did not let me go in at all.
Wow, yeah. That is an enormous penalty.
Yeah, that really is. I think they may have overreacted a little bit on that. I mean, I get the suspension for a couple of days, but it shouldn't follow you beyond that. Thanks for the call, Ruben. Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Here we got Vanessa. She's on line 3, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Vanessa. What happened?
Hi. Okay, so this really isn't something that I did, but I am in the middle of a really nasty divorce in which my husband, who is a musician, has been hiding his money, and he's only claiming he can make about $1,000 a month. So on his Facebook, he had pictures of him working, even though he's been claiming that he doesn't. So I took those pictures to court with me. Uh-huh. And used them against him. And the judge basically told him in court that he is a big liar. He doesn't believe what he's claiming on his paperwork in court. And that even though I do still pay a ridiculous amount of spousal support and child support because he's hiding his money, I pay a lot less than I would have had I not found those. So it's on his public access Facebook.
How about that? So in other words, he was lying to you and then basically posted something that was contradictory to his own story. He became a witness for the prosecution.
Oh, yes. He's lying to the courts, yes, about, you know, he's a musician and he's a musician that you guys play on the radio, and he's claiming he can't make any money. So it's very interesting. It's very nice for me. It was very helpful. So.
All right. Thanks for the call. We won't even ask. Let's do one more. Let's go to Marcos. He's up next. He's on line 2. This sounds pretty funny.
Hey, guys.
Marcos, what happened, dude?
I got out of high school. I got drafted to play at a small school, Division II school in Northern California. Well, one day during a team meeting, I happened to be doodling instead of paying attention and made a funny doodle of my head coach in an uncompromising position with one of the players that happened to suck up to him. Well, another buddy of mine decided this picture was hilarious and posted it on Facebook. Well, once the picture got around, made its way back to the head coach, and needless to say, he wasn't too happy about it, so I ended up getting kicked off the team. I got my scholarship revoked and sent back home.
Dude, you lost a scholarship just because you drew a sexy time photo of the coach?
Yes. And I wasn't even the one who posted it.
That hurts, man. Oh my that is rough. All right. I mean, I guess what's the lesson of the story here, Lisa, is just keep your stuff close, right?
Cover your tracks, man.
Cover your tracks, exactly. LaQuisha, every Sunday night at 10 this past few weeks, has been on the E! Channel watching something called The Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, the exciting adventures of Dorothy and Morgan and all their ridiculously rich kids. And I'm sorry to say, LaQuisha, that last night was the final episode for the season, and the show has not yet been picked up for season 2.
Hallelujah.
So this could be it. This could be your last ever Rich Kids of Beverly Hills update.
You're damn right. It's the last ever kids update. Last rich.
So I know that nothing had ever happened on that show before, but since it was potentially the season finale, I'm sure they loaded it up with lots of excitement last night, right?
Two big storylines going on last night. One, was Morgan going to get married? Now, Morgan is big nose, big boobs. Was Morgan going to get married to comb over Chris Martin, her boyfriend?
All right.
And now that she's had such a big success with her blog, Boobs and Lubes, of course, everybody's reading that now, that blog.
Sure.
She's ready for that next step with her boyfriend, and she is starting to think seriously about the future.
I realized when I was away from Brendan that I really, really, really missed him, and I need a really, really, really big engagement ring. Not cushion cut. I do oval.
Big ring. That's what she needs, a big ring. Okay.
But not cushion cut, though, because that would be embarrassing, right?
That's right. Gotta have that. And the other big plot line last night was, what are the plans going to be for New Year's Eve for this group? What are they going to do on New Year's Eve? Well, as Wang says, you can't just be in Los Angeles on New Year's Eve. You can't celebrate New Year's Eve in Los Angeles. That just isn't done.
I feel like you're only in L.A. when you're crying or going through your breakup. But, like, if you're in L.A., you don't want to be going to, like, a club. Nightclub. Like, every bitch from San Diego is down here.
Yeah.
Jeez, well, you don't want to rub elbows with people from San Diego, LaQuisha.
Every bitch from San Diego is down here in Los Angeles. Yes, they come all the way down from San Diego to Los Angeles.
Sure.
They decide they're going to go to Las Vegas. Now, it's 2 days before New Year's Eve, and they're making this plan now. And you know what New Year's Eve is like in Las Vegas. It's crazy time.
Right.
So they have to make their arrangements, and so Big Boobs Big Nose goes to comb over Chris Martin, her boyfriend, and tells him, now he's on the hook to make their transportation arrangements.
Basically, we've decided that we want to go to Vegas for New Year's. But, obviously, I am not going to fly commercial there. I'd rather walk. And so I need you to organize a plane for us.
Now, she needs a private plane to go to Las Vegas because she won't fly commercial.
Right. Well, it is a very, very long and uncomfortable 45-minute flight, LaQuisha.
She'd rather walk than go on a commercial airliner. And what are they going to do for dinner? Well, Roxy says they got to go to Nobu. That's where they need to go. How are they going to get a table for dinner on New Year's Eve in Las Vegas? Well, Roxy calls her manager friend at Nobu, and he says, I'm sorry, all we have available is the sushi bar. You can sit there if you want to eat. Well, that just won't do.
Brian, my love, you know we can't do the sushi bar on New Year's Eve. My life will be over.
Roxy, you're killing me right now.
I want the private dining room with our private chef, like what we usually get.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
And then he gives that to the bitch.
Oh, my God. See, this is what it's like when you're worth millions of dollars, is you can just call and people will do anything you want.
But he missed a big opportunity because she said if she had to eat a sushi bar, her life would be over. He was going to put her at the sushi bar.
Right, obviously.
He missed all a lot of trouble. Now, Morgan and comb over Chris Martin, they're going to get married. And so, well, they're thinking about it. First, they want to move in together. So, naturally, they're going to buy a house together before they get engaged, because that's wise.
Uh-huh.
And Morgan breaks that news to her mother.
So, you're planning on finding a house together?
No, we're going to look around and see.
But who is going to pay for that house?
Well, maybe you guys will help me.
No. There is no help. When this ring is on your finger, then there will be help.
She's a grown-ass woman asking her mother to pay for half a house with her boyfriend.
Yep, that's what's happening.
Unbelievable.
You should worry a little less about boobs and lubes and about jobs and slobs. Get a damn job. Buy your own house. Well, the girls are in Vegas, and all of them have their sparkly dresses on, and Wang is very impressed by how they look.
We all have very, very different style from one another, but Vegas is basically the only place that's acceptable to wear a sparkly dress. We looked perfectly in tune, but not the same. It was like Destiny's Child. All cohesive, but different. It definitely looked like Tina Knowles was like somewhere behind us.
Right.
Let me tell you something about Destiny's Child. You are the farthest thing from Destiny's Child. You're like Destiny's stepchild that they didn't want around, that they put in foster care. You don't look like Destiny's Child.
I do love that they're basically comparing themselves to Beyonce, by the way.
Yeah.
So they got Johnny, who is their obligatory gay friend that they put on every episode. And Johnny has set back personally the image of gay people on television about 30 years. And all he shows up is that when they need some comic relief and they say, oh, gay Johnny, you going to be dancing tonight?
Here's the deal. My body will adjust to the kind of music I'm dancing to, so if it's like hip-hop, it is a lot of ass. Any kind of gay diva, my whole body will just start to shake. I'm ready. Bring it.
This is what they have to talk about.
They talk about Johnny shaking his gay ass.
All right.
Well, it is New Year's Eve, so they're all very introspective, and they look back over their year and realize what they really care about, and this is what Wang cares about.
Every single day of our lives, we all know how fortunate, how lucky we are to be able to live the lives that we do.
Yeah, they're so lucky. They treat everyone like dirt and just expect them to hop to and fulfill their demands whenever they ask for them. Why couldn't a private plane go down instead of that Malaysian airliner? They could take them all out in one fell swoop.
What's your guess telling you about whether this show will be back for season two, LaQuisha?
My guess is no one gives a rat's ass about these rich bitches.
Uh-huh.
And also, the only usefulness it has on television is as a cautionary tale that if you're rich, your children are going to be assholes.
Well, I guess we'll keep our eyes peeled for whatever's next, LaQuisha, whether it's this show or something else, but thanks for watching it.
I don't think I'm coming back.
Thank you, Lisa. Very disappointed, by the way, Ralph, that I was gone for a week, and I haven't heard anything about any new moments with Kevin happening while I was gone. No.
We had the biggest meltdown ever in Kevin history.
I was going to say, there's no way 5 days in a row went by with no moments with.
Yeah, we had plenty of little nicks and cuts along the way, but there was one major artery bleed.
Well, maybe next showbiz, maybe you can fill me in, because I'm dying to hear about it.
Yeah, we left him to his own devices, introducing and then getting to a bit. We were doing a segment, an entire break, and it just was a colossal meltdown. He was trying to play two or three elements at the same time, and then he went to a pre-recorded phone call before he even said hello, and then the phone was ringing afterwards, and it was just the Hindenburg. It was awesome.
You don't give little kids full access to the knife drawer. Come on, he needs adult supervision when he's in here. You know that.
Daddy was off. Daddy was away. Playing with mommy on Clown Island or wherever you were. I don't know. And the kid was just running through the house.
All right. Well, I need to hear about that. In the meantime, it is Monday morning. It is 8:56, and Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
I'm here with more than that. I've got tickets. I've got passes.
Okay.
To Captain America Winter Soldier! Oh. Captain America.
That's a big one right there.
It is. Captain America's back. In his second film, The Winter Soldier, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, April the 4th. You, my good friends, will be able to see it before anybody else at our special K-Rock advanced screening of Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Wednesday, April the 2nd at AMC Century City 15. If you know anything about me at all, and by now you should, for God's sakes, we've been doing this a long time, you and I. I love me some comic books, and I love Cap, one of my favorite superheroes. Returns, of course, Chris Evans returns as Captain America. And, you know, we also get introduced, finally, to Cap's longtime sidekick and partner, the Falcon. The Falcon
obviously.
Is in this movie. Yes, obviously, the Falcon. Anthony Mackie plays the Falcon in this film. Can't wait to see Falc out there fighting alongside Cap. First ever African-American superhero, by the way.
Oh.
The Falcon.
How far back does he go?
When debuted in 1969.
Wow.
It's when he hit the pages of Marvel Comics. All I need from you, Captain America fans, is the Falcon's secret identity, his real name, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with that correct answer will get a pair of passes to see Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I can't wait. Speaking of movies, it's Monday morning. It means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's who made what. Divergent. In its debut, $56 million made it number one. Muppets Most Wanted in its debut, $16.5 million. Then Mr. Peabody and Sherman came in at number three. Number four, the list has been revised since last night, so it looks like God's Not Dead came in at number four.
Dude.
And I did a little research.
Tell me.
And God's Not Dead is exactly what we expected. It's an evangelical Christian film about a young man at college who runs up against a professor who is part of his philosophy course teaches that God is dead. There is no God. And so this student takes it upon himself to prove that God does exist, that God is real. And he's going to put it in the face of this teacher. And
how do you prove that God is real?
Because the Bible.
Right, but science.
Oh,
but
no.
The Bible.
I'm not saying God isn't real. I'm saying how do you prove it?
Why don't you go see God's Not Dead and learn a little something? Why don't you get some knowledge dropped on you?
I was informed by our dear friend Linda Polly of Portland, Maine, that Kevin Sorbo, TV's Hercules, is in this film.
You got that right. He is the teacher. He's the college professor.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right.
Disappointed! 300, Rise of an Empire's fifth, and Need for Speed, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nonstop, The Lego Movie, and Tyler Perry's Single Moms Club came in at number 10. Frozen dropped out of the
top 10 for the first week, but still managed to make over $500,000. Even though the DVD of the movie was in stores and you could get it digitally, still a lot of people went to see it in the theaters. So that Frozen.
It's one of the highest grossing box office movies of all time now, right? Is it in the top 20?
Yeah, and I think it's just about 30 mil off of being the number one grossing animated film of all time, behind Toy Story 2, I want to think.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's right up there. Speaking of movies, Sean Penn and Robin Wright's daughter, Dylan Penn, is making her feature film debut. She's going to be in a new horror film called Condemned. Hollywood Reporter says she'll play a member of a group of kids who live in a condemned building on Manhattan's Lower East Side. She's a squatter. This girl looks like no squatter I've ever seen. Have you seen Dylan Penn?
No, I have not.
My goodness, she's good stunning. She is stunning. Good genes.
Well, look at her mother. Jesus.
Yeah. But an infection starts hitting the building's residents, making people lose their minds and go in murderous rampages. Good times.
All right.
Condemned.
Picked the wrong building to squat in.
They did indeed.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's right. In the building. And who do you think is the most liked singer on Facebook? Is Facebook still a thing? Do people still care about Facebook?
Yeah.
Some do. Mostly grown-ups now, but yeah.
This is, this.
It's got to be Gaga, right?
This singer's the most liked singer on Facebook.
Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem. That's right. She's number one. No, it's not Gaga. Any other guesses?
Beyonce?
Not Beyonce.
T-Swizzle?
Not T-Swizzle.
Hmm.
Not Bieber? Not Sinatra?
Wild Cherry.
Not Wild Cherry.
Boz Skaggs.
Not Boz Skaggs.
Peter Frampton.
It's not Peter Frampton.
I can do this all day.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Not Dateline NBC's Chris Hansen.
Vampire Weekend.
Vampire Weekend.
Mr. Richie Ramone.
It's not Richie Ramone.
Orson Bean.
Not Orson Bean.
I'm Mayor Rob Ford.
It's not Mayor Rob Ford.
Hey, it's Stryker from the world-famous K-Rock at Mike Thompson RV.
Nope.
It's not.
You know, I started off by saying singers, right? At least you could have stuck to that genre.
One of television's most dynamic and commanding stars, Jack Lord.
Not Jack Lord.
All right, I think we're out.
It's Shakira.
Oh, Shakira.
Shakira has over 86.3 million likes on her Facebook page. Rihanna has 86.2. So Shakira just edging out Rihanna as the most liked singer on Facebook.
Michael Jackson.
No, we're done. Shakira said, "I've always wanted to have a lot of friends, but I've never imagined it would be so many. 86 million. So humbled. Okay. Can't thank you enough for your support. I feel so fortunate to have you," she said. No word on her hips, have to say.
The king of rock and roll, Elvis. Elvis Presley.
No, Rodney. I just told you it's Shakira. Today's celebrity birthdays: Louis Anderson, 61. Actor Robert.
We got a winner! Oh, Nelly.
We have a winner. I think Arturo was the first caller through with the right answer. Arturo?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Arturo. I need the Falcons' secret identity, please.
Samuel Wilson,
yeah! Indeed. I love Falk. All right. Thanks, man. Thanks for calling in. Also, congratulations to Rito and Miguel and Danny and Philip. Rito? Sounds like a supervillain.
Tons of chicks calling in for
Stop
this one.
Stop it.
Look at all those girls.
Laura Flynn Boyle's 44. Kelly LeBrock is 54. Robert Carradine, the actor, is 60. Jim Parsons is 41. Allison Hannigan turns 40. Jessica Chastain is 37, and actress Lake Bell celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Give me a little of that Walking Dead theme song, would you, there? I'm so sad already, Lisa May, that there's only one episode left.
I know. I love this show so much.
And it's one of those shows that seems like when it goes away, it's gone for way too long, and you can't wait for it to come back, and you just want to savor every delicious minute. The Walking Dead is the most watched drama in basic cable history. And now that Michael Cudlitz is on the cast, I'm saying it's going to double that. I'm saying, how do you avoid that sexy, sexy man? He joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
So great to talk to you. What a thrill it must be as an actor to be able to jump into a project like The Walking Dead.
It's been great. Everyone's been really welcoming. You know, it's a completely different situation from the show I left, so far as, you know, where it takes place and what I get to do on it. And I'm having a blast.
Now, a lot of people, you know, the thing about The Walking Dead is there are two types of people. There are those of us who are enjoying the TV show. Then there are those of us, you know, those are the people who have been living with it through the graphic novels for all these years. So a lot of people were excited to see Abraham Ford show up. He's a guy with quite a backstory in the comics, right?
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to, you know, hopefully get into some of that as we go into the future in the TV show. And I think what's happening lately is that there's been a lot of references to the comics and a lot of sort of paying homage to the comics. The cool thing is that we have, you know, Robert Kirkman is very heavily involved in the TV show as well. So everything that happens on the show is blessing. You know, and as a writer of the comic and that story, he gets to sort of reinvent things or sort of say, well, what if this person or this character, you know, is no longer with us? Or what if I would have kept this guy or this gal alive a little bit longer? How would that have changed, you know, the landscape of the world that we're living in? And I think he's having a good time with it.
I think so, too. You're absolutely right. It kind of gives him a chance to create an alternate universe for these same characters in The Walking Dead, because there have already been some pretty high-profile things that went one way in the comics and then completely different on the TV show. And they both can independently and legitimately exist. It's not like one is absolutely tied to the other.
No, not at all. But then you get, you know, a situation like you have now. We were talking about this just last night, is that you have a world where both Tyrese and Abraham are alive. You know, not only Tyrese and Abraham, Michonne,
uh-huh.
These sort of iconic, in the world of the comic, these iconic characters that didn't necessarily exist side by side. And now you sort of get to see a completely different dynamic of these, you know, awesome, you know, awesomely created characters from Robert.
Right, right. And I was so happy. You know, this season has been so different because we, you know, ever since the prison, you know, broke apart with the governor coming back and everything, everybody has kind of splintered and gone their separate ways. So every episode, it seems like we're spending a lot of time with a very small group of people. And it looks like we're headed toward everybody getting back together again. And some of those people are not going to be that happy to see one another.
No, one of the really cool things that's I've been a fan of the show prior to being on the show. So I enjoyed watching the show, but what I've really enjoyed this season as a fan is actually getting to know all of these people better. I think in the group, you know, sort of dynamic when everyone's all together, you don't get the time to really sort of go deeper into these specific characters and why they're making the choices they're making. And now when they all do come back together again, there's going to be a lot more, you know, everything that they do is going to be much more loaded because you know these people and you care about them so much more.
Yeah,
so
you're absolutely right.
A really wise choice, and I think that, you know, a dangerous choice because it could have really pissed some people off.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that episode where we saw Michonne's backstory, for instance, I mean, we learned more about her in 45 minutes than we had the entire two seasons of watching her, just because we got to see what caused her to be the way she is.
Absolutely, which is satisfying for what you've seen already, but also informs everything we're going to see what happens with her in the future. So it's really, really cool choice.
Now, let's talk about Abraham for a bit, because he's on a mission. He is awfully committed to getting Dr. Porter with the world's greatest mullet to D.C. I guess he has to believe that Porter knows what he's talking about, that he really does for reals have some answers, right?
Yeah, you'd think you have to, don't you? Because why would somebody follow somebody like that if you didn't believe him?
But does he have some answers? That's the part that's driving us all crazy out here. Is he just talking a big game, or does he really know what caused everything to go south? And can he do anything if he gets to Washington?
We'll have to see. You know, there's clues throughout the whole show as to what's happening. And obviously things happen, you know, that are happening in the future will inform everything. But, you know, I always say nothing is as it seems and everything will explain itself.
Right.
And that's what makes the ride so exciting, because people are, you know, it's the balance of, you know, I'm in charge, but I'm thinking, you know, I'm listening to everything he says, and he's telling me he's, you know, he's smarter than me. Meanwhile, he just shot up the only form of transportation we have.
That was a terrible scene.
Like, yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. So you have to sort of, you know, you look at all those things and take them in and take them in as clues. Not for some, you know, ultimate, you know, crazy mystery, but just they're clues and they're story points that are are important, and they piss you off for a reason.
Right, right.
So think about those things, you know?
I don't feel like your group spends enough time talking about how hot Rosita is.
Yeah.
How can you just ignore that she's the hottest chick who's left in the world today?
Because she's with me. What's there to talk about?
Let's talk about, because I don't know what Abraham looked like in the comics. Is that where the ridiculous facial hair comes from, Michael? Is that what they made you do to match what the guy looked like in the comic book?
Yeah, he looks, I would say, and I'll throw this out, you know, somebody can say I'm full of crap or not, but it's a pretty damn strong resemblance.
Oh, interesting. Hair.
Yeah, it's look, the graphic novels. You know, the pen and paper ones are, you know, they're black and white, and then but the color graphic novels, he's got the complete Scooby-Doo red hairdo that does not happen in nature, except for like, you know, 2-year-old children who have that bright orange red hair, and it goes away, softens to a much more, you know, a natural red, even if it's shockingly red. This is so red, it's orange.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy here. And that mustache, yeah. is that something that they glue on, or is that something you had to grow?
Oh, that's me. I so wish we were in studio right now.
Oh, really? So you have to walk around all the time with that mustache?
No, right now I have it filled in the middle with my goatee, and I remove it out. But I refuse to have them glue something on me, because that would just be even more miserable in 110-degree heat down in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it doesn't move with your face the right way, and it's just, no, this is all me, and it's all red. So it's the carpets do not match the drapes.
Yes, I know we were all asking that in our heads. This is the voice of our friend, actor Michael Cudlitz on The Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about The Walking Dead, which, of course, airs Sunday nights on AMC. There's only one more for this season. Now, I know that Mr. Kirkman basically puts a fatwa on you if you ever spill any secrets. I'm not going to ask you to give anything away, but we're going to learn a lot about Terminus on the season finale next week. Right, Michael?
I think that next week is a very satisfying episode where a lot of questions are answered.
That's fair to say. I mean, you can imagine what it's like. Look, you knew what was coming. We're sitting at home like viewers, and finally we've been hearing about Terminus. We've been seeing these signs all, you know, the last 4 episodes or something. You finally get there. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, you know, there's no guards out front. There's no locks in the door. You guys just waltz into this paradise. And we just can't imagine that it's as easy as that. It just, there's no way it can be. It's The Walking freaking Dead.
Yeah, but also, if you are a fan of the comic, there are some really cool, nice, safe places that they come across. I find it interesting that everyone immediately goes to the bad.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, if something looks good, it's probably bad. If something is bad, it's bad. It's like, there's some wonderful places that they come across that they, you know, ultimately in the comics have to defend, and they are connected to other things. But, you know, I would just sort of, I would enjoy and trust the group right now until we've given you a reason not to.
Yeah, well, they need a break. I'll tell you that they need some bad. They need like the town they used to have, the governor's town. They need a place like that where they can just kind of chill, recharge.
They need a Woodbury, a new Woodbury without the governor.
Exactly. Get themselves some showers and some decent meals and have some sexy time and go back to being humans again instead of just being animals on the run. I mean, at some point, these kids need a break. So.
Exactly.
Before we let you go, so season finale this week, and then how long is the show going to be gone? Do you know, Michael?
We come back October.
Okay. All right. October.
It's typical early in October.
And you survive. We'll be seeing a little bit more Abraham next year as well.
If I'm around, I'll be back in October.
All right.
Now, last question. Are you going to, I don't know when you have to go back to filming, but do you have time to shave and then just regrow before filming again, or are you just going to leave it like that all year long?
I leave my goatee all year long just in case. I don't leave the, you know, like I said, I let it fill in the middle, and that I can get away with. And then I just have to remove the center part. and let it grow a little longer. But yeah, it's best to do that, and it's best to keep it so that, you know, look, everyone on The Walking Dead, not everyone will die, but everyone will die. you know, it doesn't help anyone if the longer I keep the hair, the more that tells that story and doesn't sort of, you know, tip that hand for when that inevitably happens. So, you know,
gotcha.
Take it one day at a time. And well, I'm having a blast, though. It really is different than Southland, and the people over there couldn't be nicer.
Oh, well, you know how psyched we were. I mean, we were all just over the moon when it got revealed that you were going to be on. I mean, it's already one of the best shows on TV and even made better by your participation. And we're so happy for you. We're so happy for the success of the show. Keep doing the good work. And, you know, anytime, you're always welcome on the Kevin Beach Show. Michael, thanks for calling in, dude.
Appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon.
It's a cool song.
Thank you, Rodney. Yes, it is. It's AWOL Nation sale on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ, quarter to 10. Ralph is here. Time for a look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on for Monday?
It's not Showbiz news, but I just read on the way in here, and I was fascinated. I want to give everyone the heads up. A doctor in Dallas, Texas, claims he has a cure for homosexuality.
Oh, wow. We've been looking for that for a long time, right?
I had no idea something needed to be cured, but apparently it does. And Jerry Mungazy says that he now has a new therapy that will cure, his words, not mine, homosexuality, including asking patients to color in pictures of a brain with crayons. He says there's a certain color someone uses that indicates they've been demonized. If you pick up a certain crayon and you color in the brain picture with a special crayon, then you've been demonized.
That's science.
That is science. And They are able to fix you depending on what crayons you use when you're coloring in the brain.
How? They fix you by just making you use a different color crayon?
I'm not sure what the process is, but Dr. Jerry adds, if anyone says people are born this way, they would have a hard time convincing the scientific world of that, says Jerry, who, by the way, used to be a minister before he was studying to be a neurotherapist.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. I'm not interested in your medical school, scientific information proof, left-wing voodoo mumbo-jumbo.
My drop was so much better than yours, Muggs.
Yeah.
It was.
Let's not all play everything at once, shall we? It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Divergent. $56 million made it number one this weekend. It's big, big money. Muppets Most Wanted debuted also. Didn't do nearly as well, but it made it to number two, $16.5 million. Mr. Peabody and Sherman, third. Then God's Not Dead, $8.6 million. Made it number four. 300, Rise of an Empire is $8.7 million. Made it number five, Need for Speed. The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nonstop, the Lego Movie, and Tyler Perry's single, Mom's Club, routed out your top ten.
Any of you guys seen that Wes Anderson movie yet?
Yes, I loved it.
I've not seen Grand Budapest.
Really good.
Can't wait. What a cast.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to it. Congratulations to Shailene Woodley, who's in the number one movie in America right now. How much sunshine is she going to give her vagina today to celebrate?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can wonder.
And where?
Where will she be sunning it?
Yes.
You want to go check
it
out?
Yes, exactly.
In your white paneled van? In your mirror shades? You creep? While we're talking about religion and entertainment crossing swords, fascinating story this morning about the TV show Cosmos on Fox, of course hosted by Neil deGrasse Tyson and produced by our buddy Seth MacFarlane. I knew it was a matter of time. In fact, I brought this up last week when we talked to Seth about the show, about how he doesn't have nearly enough religion in that show about science to make some people happy. And today, creationists are demanding equal airtime from Fox to show their side of the debate regarding creationism versus evolution.
Well, sure, they've got their own book.
That's right. The argument from the producers and Fox is it's not really up for debate. It's science, and these are facts, and we're not looking to include anything else. But the creationists are saying that the show is not balanced without the inclusion of their religious beliefs. The group is called Answers in Genesis. And they said creations are even on the radar screen for them. They wouldn't even consider us plausible at all.
Huh.
I wonder why that is.
What about all the people who believe that dinosaurs and humans existed together on the Earth? Where's their point of view, Ralph?
This is those people. These are the people who run the Creation Museum down in Kentucky.
Okay.
They want to be represented. And they want to be able to put forth the evidence that the world is 6,000 years old.
Muggs, I'm going to hit the drop again. Let it play, okay?
Go ahead.
I'm a Christian. I'm not interested in your medical school, scientific information proof, left-wing voodoo mumbo-jumbo.
That's right. Please. Amanda Seyfried may be the only honest actress in Hollywood. Did an interview with Star Magazine where she said the following. God love her. Sex scenes are great. I'm not going to pretend it's not fun.
Really?
Good for her. She's right. They are great. From what I can remember, only did one many years ago, but it was a good time.
And that wasn't for a Hollywood movie.
How dare you, sir? Yeah, it was for a TV movie.
Yes.
I got to make out with a girl in the front seat of a pickup truck. It was good times. Angelina Jolie is a woman to look up to. She has, the reports are that she knows her partner Brad Pitt wants another child, so what she's going to do is freeze her eggs before she has surgery to remove her ovaries. You know, she's decided to undergo another serious surgery in order to remove the opportunity of uterine cancer,
yeah,
which also runs in her family. So before she gets the hysterectomy, she's going to freeze her eggs so that she and Brad can have more kids. To which I say, you don't need any more kids!
So he wants, he doesn't want to, this isn't adopting another one, this is making another one from scratch?
I believe they want to make another one from fresh batter, yeah.
Yeah, they don't need that. They Nobody needs that.
Whip that batter up and then pop it in the oven and have themselves a cake. And this is my favorite response to the Kim Kardashian Kanye West cover to Vogue magazine, which seems to have people in such a tizzy. You know, a lot of people are commenting on it, pro and con. But my favorite comment is the new picture. Have you seen this one of Seth Rogen and James Franco?
Yes.
Photoshopping their heads over Kanye West and Kim Kardashian.
No.
Putting themselves on the cover of Vogue. It's very entertaining.
Because remember, they did the Bound 2 video also. So
now they're doing the cover as well. I thought it was fascinating. They asked Kourtney Kardashian, who was doing some morning show selling her clothing line. It was GMA, Good Morning America, where Lara Spencer, she'll tell you. She was asking her what she thought about the reaction over the Vogue cover. Kourtney Kardashian had the balls to say this. I haven't seen any reaction. I've been busy unpacking. Because she's moved, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what about the news, though? I don't hear anything about the news. I'm the last to hear anything.
Oh, what a liar.
I know. This family knows when somebody farts and it sounds like Kardashian when it comes out of their ass. They've already got a press release.
Please.
But Kourtney has no idea about anyone's reaction to the cover of Vogue that her sister and her sister's fiance have been campaigning for about 4 years to get her on the cover of that.
Such a big liar.
You're such a big liar, indeed. They said, what do you think about Kanye West really wanting this for your sister and being very vocal about Kim deserving a cover, the cover of Vogue? Really? Oh, I'm the last to know anything. I don't know anything about that, she said.
She lied.
Why doesn't she just say no comment if she doesn't want to comment?
Because she was busy trying to sell her clothing line, so I guess she had to keep talking.
You liar!
Man. Today's celebrity birthday is Louis Anderson, 61 years old today. Being last hour, we asked why Louis Anderson would put himself in the pool in that diving show. A listener was kind enough to remind us that we actually listened to part of that show where he said it was for the troops, remember? Louis Anderson was doing it for the troops. That's why all 400 pounds of Louis Anderson were getting in the pool.
Here's another clip from that same show that I listened to since last hour that I think you'll enjoy very much. This is him on the first dive on the first day of the celebrity diving show Splash.
When I was a kid, I could never get up the rope in gym class. Yeah. So this is my rope.
Before the first dive, it's already been a success. Can we give it up for Louis, everybody?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's a success because he's on the diving board. Hasn't dived yet, but he made it to the diving board. Let's give it up.
It's not a rope at all. It's a set of stairs. It goes to a diving board. You can climb stairs, can't you, Louis? Get up the rope. Kelly LeBrock is 54 years old today. Star Jones. Remember her? TV personality Star Jones. What was she on? The View? Was that the thing?
Yes, that's right.
And she made everyone hate her on that. And then she got that wedding where she got everything sponsored.
Remember? That's right.
Everyone hated her for that.
Right.
And she married a gay dude, right? And
yes.
She said he wasn't gay. And
that's
then,
right.
Then they broke up and he was gay.
Right.
Right.
And then she lost a ton of weight and everybody said, how'd you lose weight? She said, oh, I didn't do surgery. I lost it naturally. And then she lied about that and she got surgery.
Because she wanted a book
yeah.
to explain how she actually
She's a horrible right. person, this Star Jones.
Horrible person.
That's what
she
we know
sounds
about her.
Fat.
Well, not anymore. Now she's a bobblehead, but she's still horrible. She's 52. Laura Flynn Boyle's 44 years old today. Jim Parsons is 41. Allison Hannigan turns 40 years old today. How much do we love Allison? We haven't talked or seen her in a while, have we? She's busy having kids and being on television and everything. She used to love us back in the good old days.
Yeah.
She once put a flute in my butt. You remember that?
In your butt?
Yeah.
I thought that was in band camp.
Yeah, no, but we had breakfast with the American Podcast, remember?
I do, yes.
And she brought her flute along with her.
That's right.
And there's a picture of me, her sticking her flute in my butt.
I think the last time we had Allison on the show was when Big Z was here. Remember, she called in or something?
Because she was very pregnant at the time.
That's right.
And she couldn't make it in.
Well, we miss her and we love her.
Yes. Jessica Chastain, she's 37 years old today. And actress Lake Bell celebrates her 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Thanks for all your help today. Tomorrow, we'll be back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We got some great guests tomorrow. The great Howie Mandel will be here in the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow.
Love him.
Howie's a fascinating guy. So much fun to talk to. Also, one of my favorite actors on one of my very favorite shows on TV from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Joe Latrullio, is going to be on the show tomorrow. And Jude Law on the program tomorrow. I know.
That's a big star.
He's too big a star to be on this show. Also, we'll hook you up with more chances to have the neighborhood play at your house. You can get details at KROQ.com. Ralph, you're going to have some more tickets for Captain America, the Winter Soldier on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show. Get a chance to see that before it's in theaters. And, of course, we've got more Coachella tickets again tomorrow at 9 a.m. See you tomorrow right here on KROQ.